Hey, you, wake up. It's Saturday morning, and it's time to jump on that to-do list. But that home improvement project doesn't have to be a chore. Before you jump in, tune in here to About Your House to listen and learn from the most experienced and reputable contractors and service providers in the industry. On today's show, we have Matthew Query of Freedom Contracting and Kevin Fry of Fry Custom Painting. About Your House is brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. Also brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us as we spread a little love. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Hey, and good morning, and welcome to another beautiful, beautiful autumn morning. Hey, it's getting chilly. All the heaters on, furnaces on. Mm-hmm. If you hadn't had your furnace checked out, it'd be a good time to do so. And I won't plow the garden of changing your filters yet, because, you know, we're going to change time here in about, what, first weekend of November?
Should be every 30 days.
Well, I know that, but I'm... God, Matthew, you're asking a lot of these people. Every 30 days? Really?
Yeah.
I ain't never changed the filter every 30 days. Whew. Never. Now, the new homes, brand new homes, absolutely. But old dog crates, nah, ain't no need. You're going to get all of it anyway. But, you know, filtration, we can talk about that, but that's not what we're going to talk about today. We might. We can talk about anything. Well, good morning, everybody. Got a great show ahead. Matthew Query's in the house, Freedom Contracting. I got Kevin Fry, Fry Custom Painting. I got Jaquan Embrack. Can I call you a student? Is that fair? He's a student. Student of what? The trades. He's under my tutorage. That's a good word, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
Tutorage. Is that a good word?
I think it's tutelage, but...
Oh, whatever. There you go. I knew it was sounded a lot like it. You know, yeah. I'm a Southern guy. I don't know all them big words. I try sometimes when I get it. I might try to sound intellectual. I don't know. But anyway, no, it's a great show. What we're going to talk about today is stuff. We're going to be really talking about your house today, primarily. Although, you know me, I got to venture to stray aside and talk about other stuff. Because there's a lot to talk about. It's autumn. You know what this is a big season for in Charlotte and surrounding community? It's a big season for barbecues. Mm. Fall, autumn. Like we rode down the road yesterday. Remember, Jaquan saw that big old, big, like church gathering spot. I call it a church gathering spot because it looks like a place you'd have a big old reunion. A lot of people don't know what reunions are. You know what a reunion is? Mm. You do? Cool. Well, there you go. I stand corrected. You know what a reunion is, Jaquan? Cool. He knows too. I'm kind of behind the times. But anyway, Mallet Creek Barbecue coming up the fourth Thursday, I think it is, in October, which is coming up in a week, next week it will be. But anyway, that's a tradition in the Carolinas that's still hanging on. So many other ones have gone by the byway. Yeah. It's a shame, but welcome to Charlotte, growing, booming metropolis called the Queen City. All right, I got Matthew Query, as I said. Good morning, Matthew. Thanks for coming.
Good morning.
You came short notice. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've had so much on my plate lately that I just hadn't lined up everybody, all the guests I need to, but I'll catch up. And he brought Kevin Fry. Now, I got to start plowing this garden here. Where did you meet Kevin? Matthew, you meet Kevin?
So, Kevin moved in next to me, right across the street.
Across the street from you.
Yeah.
And so y'all were neighbors?
Yeah, we're neighbors. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, and the people that lived there before had a couple of kids. We never really hung out with them too much, but I told the lady, I said, hey, you better sell your house to some people with some kids. Well, answer to prayers, because Kevin also has four children like we do, and they're about the same age as our kids.
Oh, that is awesome.
And so they're like best friends now, and I went over and met Kevin
on the day that I moved in. You were there introducing yourself.
Yeah, I was a big weirdo.
So you got four kids, and they're kind of tied. Well, four kids. They're, I mean, they're kids, for Pete's sake. Yeah. They kind of meld.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if they're close in age, they meld. At least that's what I did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question on that note?
Sure.
You got any woods around your house?
We do.
Yep.
Do the kids go play in the woods?
Yes.
That's so good to hear.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, even the little, it's so amazing because kids are kind of naturally attracted to woodland. We both have like a small little strip of kind of woods. Mine's like a, basically like a line of.
You've got a lot of pine trees in your yard. I've got a lot of like.
But we also have a woods kind of.
You like got a one block have you got a natural woods kind of area?
Yeah. They love to go in there. There's all sorts. There's all sorts of.
Well, I know you don't have to tell me. I grew up. See, I don't know what it is, but there's some. Well, I do know what it is. It's innate in all of us. We're animals. Uh-huh. We're animals, people. Get that. You know, back before there was all these buildings and stuff, and all the pavement. There was pathways that we walked in, and there were trees everywhere. And there was animals and stuff, and we didn't have all this stuff.
Yeah, our boys have built forts back there.
Yeah,
with scrap wood that I bring home every time I bring.
Y'all
home
don't have any subdivisions going up?
No,
not in our neighborhood. No.
There you go. See, that was always our supply resource.
Our
that
problem was we were behind the 200 and some odd acres that the Panthers.
Oh, I got developed. You. You're close to that.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, they tore back down, and so now it just displaced a bunch of deer.
Right. So. You know, when I grew up, speaking of that, you know, and I'm relating to this because y'all were out in what we would call more rural or suburban.
I don't know. Rock Hill's up and coming.
Rock Hill is a pretty fast-growing area. It's one of the fastest-growing areas in South Carolina.
Listen. Yeah, speak close to the mics, guy. No, I'm not debating that at all. Oh, heck no. Quite the contrary. I know it is. But you still, relative to inner city, I don't know. That's why I ask you about the woods. You know, they're building forts and stuff.
Yeah.
They don't build it over in Ballantyne.
No. No, Ballantyne used to be woods.
It used
to be. Well, all of it used to be woods, Matthew.
Yeah. He's a native from Charlotte.
I'm actually a Charlotte native.
Yeah. Well, I remember, got to you yet.
I remember when Ballantyne was... like the boonies and you know, I was living in over in the Plaza Midwood area for a long time.
So where were you raised in Charlotte? So if you're a homie.
So I was actually born in Charlotte and I lived there till I was 5 years old and then we moved back to Pennsylvania where my father is from.
Okay.
And I lived there till I was 12, but my father couldn't really make a living, so we moved back to Charlotte in 96. So I lived in Charlotte from 96 onward.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen, well, like, I'm sure, you, well, you've seen a lot. What's
I remember when Fort Mill was considered, like, way out there. Nobody from Charlotte ever went to Fort Mill because there was no reason to.
Let me give you one better, Kevin, and people that listen to the show understand this. I was born and raised in Charlotte, too, back in 1952. And talking about seeing Charlotte change, once again, I relate to this. The city limit sign, where's it at now?
Bimble, isn't it?
I think there's one in Ballantyne.
There's only city limit signs upon transfer into a Pineville corporate township, right? Mm-hmm. Matthews, same thing. And Ballantyne might as well be a city, a township nowadays.
They want to be.
Huh?
They want to be.
That's the point.
Yeah.
And, you know, but back when I grew up, the city limit sign in 1956. Now, oh, by the way. The city limit sign right now is what I would say is 485. Because it's the Mecklenburg County line.
Right.
And, you know, really, Charlotte now is Charlotte-Mecklenburg. And it you might as well say if you're in Mecklenburg County, you're in Charlotte.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, like referring back to 1956, the city limit sign was about 50 yards beyond Clanton Road, on South Tryon Street.
Wow.
So in relationship.
I know what that is, but that's
and,
crazy.
You know, growing up here, you know. Anyway, I'm glad to hear your kids are great. And how you met as neighbors.
Yeah.
Yep.
Basically. Yeah. Yep. I'm a total weirdo. I just went over and was like, hey.
How old are you, Matthew?
44.
How old are you?
I just turned 40.
Yeah.
So y'all are about the same age. That's cool.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And in the same trade, in the trades. Mm-hmm.
Both in trades.
Yeah, we refer each other a lot.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's great. That's awesome.
Yep.
Matthew got four kids. Kevin got four kids. What age?
My daughter is 14, and I have three boys. They are 12, 10, almost 11, and then 3.
Gotcha. Any more coming?
No, we're done. We're done for a while.
You're done for a while.
Okay, we're done indefinitely because we're both getting older and we're tired of this.
That's fair. That's fair. I can understand that. That works. You know. Okay. Kevin.
Yes, sir.
You're 40.
Yes, sir.
How'd you get here? Let me back up. You've been here since the, what, 90s?
So I moved back to Charlotte in 96.
How old were you then?
I was 12.
Okay, so you grew up, your adolescent, middle school, all that here.
Yes.
Were you homeschooled?
I was.
There you go.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was homeschooled from kindergarten through 12th grade.
Okay, awesome. That's and folks, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, some of this show's about homeschooling. You know, we're going to meet a 16-year-old mm-hmm. homeschool kid, yep. child, Ethan, student, yep. whatever, young man, yep. what? So many words I could use.
All the things.
All those things. A young entrepreneur. Ha! I use the word. You hear that, Richard? I use the word. I'm proud of me. You know, I was hard on...
That's two big words already within 15 minutes.
No. Entrepreneur. I criticized the heck out of that word. Haven't I, Richard? Yeah. I gave that word pretty much rugged, just bad talk. And why? Because it's one of those new words that when you ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow up, they say, I'm going to be an entrepreneur.
Mm.
Of what? See, it's like saying I'm going to college. For what? To get a degree. For what? You with me?
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
okay. Were you homeschooled?
Nope. I wasn't. My parents are both teachers.
Oh, I can't remember all these histories.
That's okay. Yeah, yeah. I have a sorted past.
You what?
I have a sorted past.
Yeah. You never taught, though, right?
I've never taught.
You never taught?
No.
Okay. I thought you got a kind of a teacher personality.
Actually, I guess when I lived in France for a year, and my mom found an English teaching assistant job at two French high schools.
Right.
And so we applied for that, and I got the job. And so at... What was I? 21.
Mm-hmm.
At 21, I had a couple of different high schools that I taught at and a couple of different classes, and I would just go speak English to them and talk to them about America and different things, and so I guess kind of a teacher. I do like to teach.
Well, it's mentoring to the English language and culture.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what you were doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So it paid for all of my extracurricular activities, travel when I was over there, so it was great. But I do like to teach. It's definitely in my blood. I mean, if you've seen my YouTube
channel,
I know
it's
I'd
in
like
your
to...
blood because that's one reason you're here, right? Yeah. You know it or not.
Yeah. I love it. Love it. Yeah, love it.
Because you bring Kevin and the fact we had this homeschool conversation, you know. And I'll bring it up and put it in the court it belongs in. I'm after networks or groups, homeschool groups, to put tools in schools with,
yep.
to teach kids at least to some basic life skills around the tools and the trades. And we've been doing it now for, well, this year we kind of have taken not a different direction, a new direction in groups, more of community organizations, other nonprofits. And now we're doing some time with 15 kids at the West Boulevard Ministry every Tuesday night, and it's a blast. These kids did a event last Tuesday night with them, spent an hour and a half. It was fantastic. Gave Bart Noonan a heart attack almost when I whooped out the circular saw. He said, oh my God, he went nuts. But rightfully so, you know, you don't want the kids to get hurt.
And, I took my thumb off.
Well, you're a contractor, right? I mean, which contractor hadn't cut themselves or, you know, and even Kevin, I already know he's cut his finger a time or two in what he's done.
Well, it's hard to cut your finger with a paintbrush, but I've certainly tried.
But you never cut yourself with a razor knife?
I have.
There
plenty of times,
you go.
Yes.
Yeah, man, you can't work in the trades any way, shape, or form and not cut yourself. Because you probably hung wallpaper.
No, actually, that's something that I am adamantly opposed to.
Really? That's good to hear.
Yeah, I enjoy taking it off the walls in preparation to paint the walls.
Well, you put that sticky stuff up.
Yeah, so I can I have dealt with wallpaper before. I'm familiar with it. I just prefer to stay away from it myself.
Well, you're a smart man.
All the interior designers listening, they're like, no, don't listen to this guy.
Well, wallpaper's on the way back.
It is.
I went in the house, I don't know, 2 months ago to put a vent hood in and went into bed. Brand new. Mm-hmm. Well, brand new remodeled. It was an older home, but they had moved out and said, or never moved in yet or something. Anyway, the house was empty. And I went in the bathroom and said, oh, because you can smell it. Mm-hmm. And immediately I said, oh, wallpaper, wow. That's new.
I actually really do like wallpaper. I should rephrase that. I'm not adamantly opposed to it. I just think that there's a place for it. And
I agree.
It's not something that I want to get into myself.
It's one of those features. We'll talk about that. Because you do wall paintings.
Yes.
See, he's an artist, too. This kid's an artist. He is. There's no doubt about it. See where his love and passion is. But you know how I know that? Your Facebook post.
Oh, yeah. I also have an Instagram that has all the same pictures on it. But
well, why would I want to replicate? But anyway. Welcome to social media, folks. Yeah. I got to take a break. 704-227-8986. We'd love to hear from you if you want to talk. And if you don't and you just want to listen, we'll certainly talk your ears off. Right here on About Your House, I got Matthew Query, Freedom Contracting. I got Kevin Fry, Fry's Custom Painting. And I got Jaquan M. Brack just sitting there saying, what in the heck are they talking about? But no, seriously, we'll be back with more. I've got who? Ethan Wells coming in next hour. Mm-hmm. Roddy Player is going to be calling in. Queen City Audio, Video, and Appliance going to talk about, one, how the day went feeding the Hope on the Hills. He'll talk more. Hope for the Hills, excuse me. He'll talk about that. And the holidays are ahead. Well, you need to know about appliances. You know, it's cooking season. We'll talk more on About Your House. Come back. We'll be here. All righty, welcome back. I got to talk about the weather a minute. Yeah, the
weather. Oh, boy.
But I'm going to tell you something. It is absolutely gorgeous. But next week, I looked at it a little before I came on the show today. Look at that. Look. 76, 79, 78, 79, 78, 73. Every day, sunny. No chance of rain. Next Saturday, even Monday, even Tuesday.
And dry out Western North Carolina.
Golly, you talking about some dry weather, pretty weather, autumn weather, lows at night in the 40s, mid 40s, and we're going to get in the upper 50s again at night. So beautiful, beautiful weather ahead. Yeah. So, painter, do you do exteriors, by the way?
I don't advertise it. I'm willing to do some exterior work, but I'm a one-man show, so I don't get out the scaffolding. I don't do anything that requires two people to haul the equipment out. So, no.
Discipline.
So, basically, I'll do, like, a front porch. I'll stain the deck. I'll paint your front door if your HOA requires stuff like
just
that.
Just smaller stuff. You don't want to be climbing a bunch of ladders and stuff.
Right. I don't want to kill myself.
Do you have a pickup truck?
I have a Honda Element.
That was the question that I wanted to ask you today. What's your toolbox?
I drive an 04 Honda Element that I am painting myself on the outside. Unfortunately, the last time I was doing some design work on the outside of it, it rained the next day and washed a lot of it off, and I have to go back and peel it off and start over. But the stuff that
we learn, Kevin?
That I should put a canopy over my vehicle before the rain comes.
There's a lesson to everything. Yeah. You know, like I said, Jaquan, right? See, I'd use lessons all the time. Because, you know, the only time we learn, when is the only time we learn? I got to ask this.
Failing.
Failing.
When we fail.
When you apply. Because if you don't apply.
That's true.
And fail. You don't apply, you won't fail.
Right.
So application is the way we learn. Yeah. It's the only way we truly learn. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah.
But we don't do that in school. You apply a test, a pencil, piece of paper, memory?
Mm-hmm. Never.
What do you mean by never, Kevin?
I mean, I went through 12 years of education as well, and I remember pretty much up through fourth grade, and I've used up through fourth grade, but after that I've not really used anything that I've studied in high school. It was a complete waste of time.
Really?
It was a complete waste of my life.
Rich didn't love that, didn't he?
Tell us how you really feel.
No, I love it. Now, he's spot on, but here's a guy, you were homeschooled.
Yes.
But, you know, How'd you get to where you're at? I mean, you're a painter, and you're 40 years old.
Yes.
You're 40 years old, and you do custom painting.
Yes.
How'd you get here?
Well, that's a long story.
I got a little time.
I didn't want to be a painter when I was younger. My father was a contractor and handyman, and he took me to work with him.
And he was in Charlotte.
His name is Mark Fry. I'm sure there are a lot of old-time Charlotte natives.
Well, I'm an old-timer. Okay.
Who probably worked for him. He had a big name in Myers Park.
I knew him.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I knew him way back when. I did. Keep talking.
So he took me to work with him whenever he needed an assistant, and he taught me how to hold a brush and how to paint, and that's what I learned, and that's how I made some money. But then I didn't really want to follow in his footsteps.
He needed a painter too, didn't he?
He did.
Your dad needed a good painter, and he had you right there, and you gravitated. You grabbed a brush and said, look at that boy handle a brush.
Right, and anytime he had a painting job, he handed me the brush and told me to go to work, and I did. But I didn't like it at the time. I was young and had
my
own ideas.
How young were you when you grabbed a brush?
11, 12.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, keep talking. 11 years old, you were just a puppy.
Right, and I graduated from high school, and I didn't want to follow my dad's footsteps, and so I didn't like it. I wanted to go be my own man and adventure.
You wanted to be more independent.
I wanted to be independent, travel the world, and so I actually, years down the road, after working in coffee shops and an office and a warehouse, I did a lot of bouncing around and floundering in life for a while.
Were you happy?
It was fun, but I wouldn't say that I was fulfilled.
No, I didn't say fulfilled. I said, were you happy? And you can't be happy until you're fulfilled, can you?
So I wasn't ultimately happy, no.
With purpose. Right. Okay, that's the point.
Right.
I went in the back door there, but it worked.
There you go. We all ended up in the same place. Yeah.
Okay, so you floundered around.
And then my parents got divorced, and my father wanted to sell the house and move out of Charlotte, and I didn't want to leave Charlotte. So I thought, if I'm going to have to leave Charlotte, I'm really going to leave Charlotte. And I had always had a passion to go to Japan. So
awesome.
I actually went and got certified to teach English, and I moved to China for a year, and then I ended up living there for...
So you didn't go to college to get a degree in teaching, but you went to a class, something to give you
an intensive certification course. Yes.
Wow. and went to Japan to teach English.
So you're telling me there's another way.
Yeah, there is another way. So I actually didn't go to Japan first.
There's always another way. If you just explore it, that's the point I want to make around that.
Yeah.
You can do anything you want to do, and you don't need what they tell you you need. That's the cash cow part. That's the money, 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 money part. But the happiness and purpose-filled part doesn't even go in there, does it, Kevin?
No, it doesn't.
Sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
So I ended up living in China for almost 2 years.
China?
Yes.
Wow.
And
awesome.
Then I went to Japan and married my girlfriend, who was Japanese, but we met in Charlotte.
I had to go back to Japan to get married?
We got married in Japan.
That's awesome.
And then we ended up living in Japan for 7.5 years. And we had 3 kids there. And then my father passed away, and we moved back to Charlotte in 2018.
Do I get the sense that you and your father did in jail?
I loved him. We had a great, good relationship.
I didn't love him. See, I love my father, but we didn't jail. That's why I'm kind of...
I wouldn't say that we had a really close bond, no.
Right. I feel that.
No. But I had a lot of respect for him. And when he passed away and we moved back to Charlotte, I had 3 kids, and my wife had to stay in Japan for 6 months to get her green card. So I had to make ends meet. So I picked up my dad's tools and went to work and started my own business.
And how old were you then?
34.
34. Started your own business doing what?
Well, I guess I was 35 when I actually started the business. So I had just
doing
been
business 35. Doing what?
Painting.
Just painting.
Just painting, because that's all I knew how to do. I didn't know how to do carpentry. I didn't know how to do drywall. I didn't know how to do anything, but I know how to read
a measuring tape?
Yes, I did.
Okay, cool. I had to get that off the table. I'm dwelling on that here lately. Arnold Jaquan. Jaquan knows. I've drilled him every day on measuring tape. But he's getting there. It was funny last Tuesday evening, I was working with West Boulevard kids. And I was sitting here drilling, talking to 15 kids about fractions, which none of them really knew it or embraced it and understood totally. But as we went further and I started drilling them on, how many quarters make a dollar? Okay, well, how many quarters make a dollar? I go on it. I'll get off on it again. But anyway, you can see the lights go off. And finally, I said, no, you can't answer anymore, because every answer, he was right. You know, this, and you could see the light, and it's so neat to watch those lights go off around Fraction. Jaquan did it yesterday, you know. But fractions are important, especially if you're in a trade. What do you think, Matthew?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's so important. All right, so you've been custom painting now.
Yes, sir.
I love the fact you're an artist, too, and you are an artist.
Yeah.
And, you know, he does what? And you're a sign painter. Do I recall you painting something?
I did actually paint a sign for the Man vs. Machine
car
garage.
Was that your sign?
On Cherry Road in Rock Hill.
No,
yes.
I saw that sign.
Yep.
I said, what if he painted that sign?
Yep.
Cool. Well, signs painting, they don't do that anymore now, that graphic design and all the vinyl and everything.
Right. Well, I painted it directly onto the masonry, so you couldn't really use a decal or anything.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. I get it. Oh, I took sign painting from a painter, friend of mine. We grew up kind of, well, when I was 18, I met Tommy Craig, and I'd love to see Tommy still alive. God bless him. He's such a good man. And when I started painting, I didn't like to paint, because really, as you know, if you don't know how to paint, it's harder to paint.
Right.
Right? Well, I mean, painting, and the whole trick is in the brush. And the applier, the tool it takes to apply the paint. Would you agree, Kevin?
Yeah, and it's a lot of finger work, and people don't realize that, you know, there are different ways to hold a paintbrush depending on which angle you're painting in and what kind of paint you're using and what direction you're moving in, and if you have to get around certain obstacles while you're painting, like, you have to really have good, nimble fingers and control over your hands.
This is how I hold a paintbrush.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
No.
But like, I'll try to teach.
You know what, Kevin? Go ahead.
I was trying to teach my kids, like, well, you know, if you have to get around this pole that's in a closet, you know, you can't just move your entire arm. You have to actually move the brush.
Yeah, you
got
to learn to move the brush. Absolutely.
Right.
I love to paint now. I don't want to go paint every day, you know, but I love to paint. And when you know how, and once again, now, why I was excited that you're on the show today. It's because, unfortunately, you know, most of your trade labor today, or service labor, or home improvement labor, is Hispanic or other, or Russian or Ukrainian, or they're not American blood. I mean, for the majority, and I know why, because we're not teaching our kids the arts and how to work with their hands and be constructive, creative, imagination, all that stuff. They've taken that out of schools. And it haven't they, Jaquan? I mean, he's sitting there, use your mouth. Yes.
Completely.
Huh?
Completely.
Completely. They've taken it out of schools almost completely. Okay. Well, if we can show them, and this has been tried, Sam, with Sam's, I can't remember Sam's last name, it's Italian. But anyway, he went and did a trades career day at Titan Solar Power some 3-4 years back, before COVID. And the kids were that came and saw his painting, he, you know, caulking, painting, they loved it. There were several kids that actually loved it. Well, Sumter Cox Painting here in Charlotte. You've heard of Sumter Cox,
yes.
I'm sure. Well, Sumter called me and wants to help. And I'm gonna reach out to him and try to get him to show up and expose painting to kids, because it's fun. I'm sure some kids would love to paint. I know that painting is an art. It's an art form. It's not just go get a roller and get a brush. There's stuff you need to know.
And residential painting is not something that's usually taught in a community college or anything like that, because there's no certification course for it. There's no way to get certified. There's no way to get a licensure for it, because it doesn't exist. And so the only way that people ever learn how to paint is from someone that they know who teaches them. And very few people are willing to take the time to do that.
Very, very few people have the time to teach anymore anything.
Right.
I'm trying to do my best with this young man, because I want to give him time, but it takes time.
Yep.
What's our most valued commodity?
Time.
You know, and everybody's too busy. Have you noticed that lately?
Yeah.
We're too busy. But you love to paint. Now, how do you get your work?
Mostly word of mouth. I'm a member of BNI Business Network International.
Oh, you do that? Oh,
yeah. I do that. And
me
so
too.
I do a lot of business networking.
You're in the BNI club, too?
We're in the same group, too. Yeah.
Which is actually a total coincidence. I was actually up in the Fort Mill BNI chapter first, and then I moved down to the Rock Hill chapter when I moved to Rock Hill because it was going to be closer for me. And it just so happened that Matthew here is actually my neighbor and fellow BNI member. So we did not plan that, but it just worked out.
So which BNI? Are y'all, can I ask
Old
that?
English Networkers is the name of it.
Mm-hmm. Where's it at?
Hoppin, Rock Hill.
They meet at Hoppin.
A what?
Hoppin. It's a
pancake place?
Like brewery on tap, basically.
Oh, okay.
So it's like 100 different beers.
What time? Y'all don't meet in the mornings.
We do.
Oh, you do?
We do. 7:45 to 9:15.
Drink beers. No,
well, sometimes when we have celebrations, we'll get Hoppin to turn on the orange juice and they've got
champagne and wine.
Okay, and wine. Cool. So we'll have some morning.
What do you call those?
Mimosas or whatever.
Yeah.
So
whatever they're called.
But yeah, no, we don't normally drink in the mornings.
Normally just coffee in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I have news. Not that anybody cares. I quit drinking 3-4 days ago. Just quit again.
All right.
I've quit several times in my life, but you know what? My mental clarity, even 4 days in, is incredible.
Good.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Good.
And, anyways, it is good. It's a great thing. Back to his painting. Mm-hmm. And painting intrigues me. And see, very rarely do I get an opportunity, Kevin, to have a painter on the show. And people think, honestly, and now that you're on the show, and I'll talk to you at some point, Matthew. I just appreciate you being here.
I'm eye candy.
You're...
And that's why you're on the radio.
I love it.
I love
it. You know, I talk sometimes about painting because people, you know, one thing I did, and I've shared this before on the show, and I don't know if you've ever done it, go into a box store and go to the painting section and watch people on a Saturday come buy painting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's... Huh?
Like me.
No. Have you ever done that, Kevin?
Well, I haven't gone there for that purpose, but I'm always in stores buying paint, and you can tell who's a newbie and who's not.
Yeah, but I would do that just for my own special entertainment, you know, and I'd watch them pick, and they would always go for the price.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
No.
You can't, can you, Kevin?
No. I don't even buy paint from box stores usually.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, about where do you buy your stuff?
Most of my paint comes from Sherwin-Williams or Benjamin Moore.
There ain't but two or three.
Well, there are a lot more Sherwin-Williams than there are Benjamin Moores. There's only one Benjamin Moore
that ain't what I meant.
Fort Mill.
What I meant is there ain't but two or three brands worth
right.
top drawer.
Now, PPG is good. I just don't buy their stuff just because it's not convenient for me geographically. I'm usually far from a PPG. But...
You ever go to Eastway Paint?
No, but my father used to buy a lot of his stuff from there.
I don't doubt it. Frank Harrelson and Sons. I hadn't seen Frank or the boys or been in Eastway in, probably 4 years. I don't get much paint anymore.
They have good reviews.
Who, Eastway?
Yeah.
Of course they do.
Everybody I know who's ever been there loves them.
Well, they're great. I mean, the paint match, the time, the effort, the quality of paint.
Yep.
You know, everything about Eastway is great. He used to be a sponsor of the show back when I was on FNC. Yeah, Frank's a great guy, a great community guy. Of course, he's getting older like all of us. I was thinking about how many people are gone. He's been around a long time, Frank. Good guy, great guy. Got some good boys, too, stepped up. And there again, any of your kids stepping in the shoes, you think, maybe?
My kids really enjoy coming. Just the other day, last week, I needed to go finish a job, and the crawl space was... had been what do you call it?
Encapsulated.
Yeah, so I brought three of my
Quad
four.
Quad was under one last week, too, wasn't you, Bub?
I was.
Nicer when they're encapsulated. Yeah. So I took my three youngest with me, and they all crawled back there in the crawl space with me and watched me finish some work and absolutely loved it.
What were you doing? Can I be nosy?
So, I was finishing. This client wanted me to move some. They had a laundry room they wanted to make into a hallway / coffee bar.
Right.
And so they had all these utilities in the wall, including a condensate drain that was going into the washer drain. So we deleted the washer drain, of course, so I had to do something with the condensate. So I ran it down through the crawl space and out.
Out the foundation
yeah,
wall.
And so it was just a simple attaching, you know, a couple of fittings. But you know,
still,
they were down there. They loved it, you know. And I've taken my son before. He's helped me quite a few times. But all my kids really enjoy coming. I think it's just.
I know for a fact, and this is part of my put tools in schools thing again, you know. Anytime I go out and engage kids, and I might add with the West Boulevard crowd, I got six coaches, all men. And the ages of those men come from probably 55 on down, maybe even as high as 60, there might be, on down to some young adults. And they get as excited as the kids because they, a lot of older adults never had the opportunity because of school, education, our system, never got to engage in any kind of tools. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised how many kids don't even know what a Phillips screwdriver is, right, Jaquan? Mm-hmm. He didn't know. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what anything was. Mm-hmm. And if you don't use it, going right back to learning, you never learn till you apply. Put a set of pliers. He fumbles. Anybody new is going to fumble unless you just, or you're one of those mechanics like I was. You just grab it and go for it. Probably. Well, I take it back. Great example. I gave him one of the first mechanical jobs I ever instructed. I didn't really instruct him. I said, I did what he needed to do is replace a battery in the truck, right? Remember that? And he over-tightened the cable and popped it. Because it's lead. You know what I'm talking about, the connector around the battery mm-hmm. post. You ever done that?
I know what you're talking about. But no.
You ever changed the battery?
Yes.
There you go. That's something. But you know what I'm talking about because you changed the battery. Well, how many batteries you ever changed, Jaquan?
That was my first one.
See what I'm saying? 20 years old is his first one. Mm-hmm. You know, but everybody has his first. And he came in there, I think I over-tightened it.
I think I was 38 when I did my first.
Okay, cool. 38.
Yep.
Well, but did you have to do it?
Yeah.
It was yours.
Yes, it was mine.
There you go. You know, and you're just not going to pay somebody to do something you can do, right? But if you didn't have all those other life skills, right, you would have been afraid to change your battery. Therefore, you're fearful.
There was a certain level of confidence that I'd built up over the years.
That's empowerment. Mm-hmm. That's empowerment, mm-hmm. right? Wouldn't you say so?
I think so.
That's the whole crutch behind it. If we don't develop self-confidence mm-hmm. and the ability to say, we can, I'm going to do it, that ain't around much anymore. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be with any particular thing.
No.
Just working with your hands, period.
Just applying, right? And I tell him that all the time. Just try. Fail. Mm-hmm. Apply.
Fail forward.
But if you don't know how to apply, you're scratching your head, what do you mean, right? Because you don't know the concept. But believe me, with kids today coming out of our public school system, that's what we're dealing with. I ain't trying to be critical. I'm just hitting the nail on the head, right? 704-227-8986, you're listening to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app, stream it live. Or you can go on your browser, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com, or Facebook Live right now. We're on there. Yee, how y'all doing? And then you can go on YouTube Live. We're there too. And then you can go back next week and listen to it again if you want to. And for future reference, we are looking to expand to other platforms. So come back. We'll be here. Who are you?
I'm Matthew.
You're Matthew Query. Yeah, I know you. Freedom Contracting. I got Kevin Fry. I got Jaquan Embrack. So there you go. And we got old, what's his name? Ethan Wells coming in, talk to us. Young child, he's 16, but that's young. But he's got his driver's license, going to drive up here. Man, that's so refreshing. All right, we'll talk to him and everybody else. And Roddy Player is going to be calling in at 9 and talking to us a little bit. So, hey, tune in. We're going to have a good show ahead. All right, welcome back. 704-227-8986. If you want to call, you're listening to About Your House. You're back. And I want to tell you something. Yeah, that's right. I tell you something. PHCC, the Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Association of the Carolinas, is having an education learning summit. Now, this is a prime example of what I wish the industry would use this show for. You know, we need to perpetuate and just acknowledge what's going on around Charlotte and get it out there any way we can. Okay, well, it's all about education, right? In learning more stuff. They're having a PHCC of NC Education Summit in their annual meeting November 10th. That's November 10th, which is a Sunday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. And let me tell you what's happening. It's going to be at the Fairfield End and Suites in Charlotte, Uptown Fairfield End. Okay. It's a technical education day, Sunday, November 10th. Okay, and what's going to be covered? So I'll tell you. They're having from 11 to 12 Sunday. It starts at 11 a.m. registration. And then at 12 p.m., plumbing breakout, well seal certification class. So there's extended education right there. Great education if you're interested in educating yourself as a plumber in the well seal certification class. 12 to 2, HVAC breakout, fundamentals of A2L system services and installation procedures. Long story short, this is actually a three-day event. If you want to check out the information, you can go to phccnc.com, the phccnc.com, and learn about all the benefits to attending this education summit and what you could learn. As remember, it's the Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Association of the Carolinas. So there you go. But I've got to say something outright, which gripes the heck out of me. I read the whole agenda, business meeting, everything. There's not one mention of workforce development and engaging for trades. And you know what? I don't care how you do it. It needs to be discussed and done because there's a tremendous amount of HVAC companies in Charlotte. See, I seem to upset them apparently because they, you know, we can't get engagement from HVAC companies to step up and be a part of Put Tools in Schools Trades Career Days. I know it costs money to send people. I know the bean counter is looking for a return on investment. I get all that. But this is one of those things, if we don't invest our time as industry people, nothing's going to change. And most of all, kids aren't learning anything. We need to embrace them.
Have you talked to Mike Gettings at Panther Heating and Air?
No.
Need to get you his info. I bet he would be 100% on board with helping with that.
Well, I don't mean to complain and fuss, but my gosh, we've got a problem. I mean, it's a big problem, major problem. So anyway,
take all that time they're using to make minute or 2 minute long radio ads and put it into
well, you can come and embrace. Worthwhile. Now, Jaquan, give Jaquan a mic a minute. Now, speak up, son. You've been to a trades career day.
Yes, I have.
And you've never been to one before, have you?
No, I have not.
Do you think it was worthy of the kids? And what were your thoughts of it?
Well, they looked pretty engaged and. One kid that came up to the table, Uncle Ray was talking to him, and he told him that he wanted to do welding, and he looked really interested in it. He actually came back to his table and asked him for help with an app, the Tools in Schools app, and Uncle Ray walked him through it, and he said, thank you. And he was like...
Yeah, kids are exposed to opportunities they never see. They're never exposed to. And... at least they need to know of the pathways available to them, you know, just like painting, Kevin. Now, I know you don't have work. You don't want to have help. Give him the back to here. Thank you, Jaquan. Appreciate that. Do you want help or do you not like help or do you? Now, I understand, believe me, because I was kind of guy right now. I tell Jaquan when we go out on a job, I'm not going to take all that time because we're under the time frame. Like I said, none of us have enough time, but I try to allocate time to teach. I don't know how I'm doing. We'll see. But are you learning stuff?
Every day when I'm with you, I'm learning something.
What's that?
I said I learned something with him every single day.
Awesome. You know, so, but taking, and I will be the first to admit, it takes time and patience to teach. And I commend all you teachers, because y'all feel worthless sometimes. I know. It's like beating your head against a wall.
Yeah, so I've tried to, several years ago, I was looking to hire an employee, and I was getting a lot of alcoholics and drug addicts and people that I didn't really want to represent my company coming looking for a handout, and I thought, this just isn't worth my effort to train these people, because they're not even showing up for work on time or at all, or they're stealing their parents' vehicle to come. So it just wasn't worth it for me. So now I'm training my children. They're not able to work for me full time yet, but I'm hoping that someday, that if they want to, it will be available for them.
I like your attitude.
But I'll also say that I realized, and this is hearing feedback from my own clients, that they actually like the fact that I'm a one-man show, because the person that they call is the person who did the estimate. It's the person who's doing the work. It's the person who responds to the emails. So there's no middleman. There's no breakdown of communication, and they really like that. So I want to give my customers the best service I can.
And that really breaks down to the best and most important thing we do every day, and that is communicate to our customers. And, Matthew, you don't have any help, do you?
I don't.
Part.
No, I have Thomas. You've met.
Oh yeah.
But he's technically a subcontractor. So.
Well, I understand, but he's help.
Yeah.
You know, you can label them what you want. They can be a 1099, a sub, a this, a that. I don't care. Show up. I don't like all these names. Show up and do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Man, communication.
Communication's everything.
I had a roofing job that went terribly this past week. And it all could have been just so much better with good communication. Just, hey, we were behind on our one job. We weren't able to get there.
You're always saying, Jaquan, you're tuning in here.
But, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And ultimately, like, the customer is the one who is the most frustrated, because if again, you get into subcontractors and all that stuff, it can get really difficult. But
now that we're on this, let's plow this garden. Let's sow this
we
seed.
Control our actions and our attitude. That's the only thing that we can control in this life. And our action of being able to communicate is 100% within our control.
And it's easy to do.
But there's so many forms. It's like you have a computer in your pocket. It's literally impossible to not communicate properly.
Right. And I'm with you 100%. I really am. And this is something I stress to, all my students that I'm in front of nowadays. The most important thing we do every day is communicate.
Can I say something else on that?
Please, I want you to. Why are you here?
I don't know.
Come on, boy.
Even if you have to communicate bad news, people understand. I've had so many times where I've had to come in and say, "Hey, I screwed up." And you wouldn't believe how graceful people actually are. And I think it's because it's such a breath of fresh air, because they're used to getting so many excuses as to why they didn't, you know, or beating around the bush. If you just come out and say, "Hey, look, I screwed up. I mean, I didn't order this material right," or whatever, people are by and large pretty graceful.
And they should be.
Well, they should be.
I agree with what you're saying, because I know how to be wrong. In other words, step up and say, "I screwed up. I was wrong."
But just communicate.
I was wrong.
Good news, bad news.
Not only that, it's a sign of good business, work ethic, values, honesty, trust, all that thing. And there runs right back in. Honest communication. Honest.
Yep.
Trust. Those are the values we're not striving for in our education system, right? How about a little love? Little love. We got to show more love and compassion. You know, really do. And that's the whole key. And that's communication, right?
Mm-hmm.
Simple communication. All right. Top of the hour break here. Roddy Player's on the phone. We're going to have a conversation with him when we get back out of from the top of the hour with information you need to hear. And Roddy's been here. His family, the Player family, God bless them. Been in Charlotte since 1952. That's the year I was born. So let's say going on 73 years. Not a bad trip. Great company, great family, great stuff. We'll be back. Talk to Roddy right after this.
Well, wait, get hour number two. We've got Matthew Query, Freedom Contracting, and Kevin Fry of Fry Custom Painting talking more about their journey in the trades and the future of the trades as a whole. We also have Jaquan Imbrack in the house. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina from the hills to the coast. If you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. We'll share our knowledge and provide encouragement to improve not just your home, but every aspect of life. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
All right, welcome back, hour number two. We got Matthew Query in the house, Freedom Contracting, and Kevin Fry from Fry's Custom Painting, and Jaquan Imbrack. And we got, is he going to come text you?
We'll see.
See if he texts you. He might be lost. Remember. Who knows?
I hope not.
Anyway, we've got Roddy Player on the phone as we come into this second hour. Roddy, good morning. Roddy, good morning, sir.
Hey, pal. How are you, Ray?
I am great. I'm great. I hope you are.
Yeah, good. Doing forever. Having a good time. Good time catching up. I just got back from the mountains yesterday. Looked around up there a little bit.
What'd you some of that share stuff. Share some of with us.
Well, you know, it's I was up in Burke County and Avery and Watauga County, and it looks like a war zone up there. It really does.
I know.
You got shopping center after shopping center. Of course, that's what we're trying to pay close attention to. That's out of business, out of commission still. They got flooded in Burke County there, and of course, we lost our store up there too.
Right.
But it's we had 6 feet of water in our showroom up there.
My gosh!
And so we had to get everything out of there, and we got to try and figure out what's next up there. But it's a mess. It really is. But I tell you what's crazy, that the people stepping up to help has been phenomenal. There's all kinds of organizations that are really stepping in there from financial perspective, from a labor perspective, and from a resource perspective for, some stuff that we worked on last week. But it's crazy.
Well, I know the outpouring of love and care and just feeling is directed to western part of North Carolina because it's so needed, and there is an outpour, and it's so much love and care. It's just been phenomenal. Speaking of which, you poured a little bit of it out last Saturday yourself. How did that go?
Ray, it was unbelievable. You know, you talk about the outpouring of love and community support. You know, the mountains, West North Carolina, are really connected to Charlotte, because all of us.
Oh, absolutely. We grew up there, didn't we?
Yeah.
We feel like we grew up part of it.
Yeah, whether it's going up there for the fall leaves or for skiing or, a lot of Appalachian State alumni in the Charlotte area. It's just crazy. But the connection and the outpouring of support was unbelievable. We had over 3,000 people volunteer to sign up. We couldn't get everybody in to help us. But we had over 3,000 people volunteer to come and help us in, 2-hour shifts, about 500 or 600 apiece. And more to come back and set up and clean up, and there's some there to set up, and it was just phenomenal. About 3,000 people signed up, and this the volunteerism around all this is wild too. But we packed over 513,000 meals between the hours of like 9 to 5 on that Saturday. We had a Little League team up in Little League Association up in Winston-Salem call and want to participate. So we sent them the ingredients to pack these hygiene kits. And those young kids packed 10,000 hygiene kits under a pavilion up there at the baseball park in Winston-Salem. And then we packed about 3,500 snack kits to keep people working. You know, when these workers are cutting down trees, working on
roads,
and whatever it may be out there, they needed some energy up there. So we packed some snack kits that we're getting up there to them now. But, this organization is called No Child Hungry, Ray, and the infrastructure they can put in place to do something like this is just phenomenal. But it was really moving. It was touching. And see the interaction of all the people at these tables. We had 12 people around tables in a real production line. And I feel like they're friends made, because of the common goal, common effort, common desire to help. And, so many people want to help but don't know how to.
Right.
And this is a great outlet for them to get together and help. And I saw so many of our friends come and help and business associates help. And it was a lot of fun. It really was.
That's super. And it was a total success and fed a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, and really, Ray, while your listeners are on the phone, there's still a lot of meat up there. You know, we're going to make an impact with these meals, but one other initiative that we're starting up, and I'd love to talk to you about it, is they need dehumidifiers up there badly. You know, everything's wet up there, and so we went to one of our manufacturers and told them to cut the profit out of it, and we're cutting profit out of it. And so, you know, these are like 50-pint dehumidifiers that we went and have a slug in the barn and a slug more on hold. Instead of $250 in a retail store, we're putting them available to charities and nonprofits at $150 a piece. Mm. The Avery County YMCA up there has been a big – it was their idea. And they're deploying, you know, hundreds of them right now. And if there's a way we can think of that, your listeners might want to participate in something like that, and we'll deliver them. So kind of be a deal where they could buy it for somebody else up there. And we're just trying to think of other ways to help out there. But like I said, everything is soaking wet, and it's going to take some time to get everything dried out. But that's a big need up there right now too. But and also, if your listeners have a need, know of where we can place these meals, we've got a bunch of them, but we're just trying to help friends and family with some of the organizations they might be attached to. But we're focused on Burke County, Avery County, Watauga County, and Mitchell County. And Avery and Mitchell seem to be the hardest hit up there. Like I said, if your listeners know of things, maybe they can communicate to you and through you about what they're thinking, and then we'll check it out and make sure that we're going to handle the distribution of it.
Well, can they reach out to on queencityonline.com?
Yeah, that'd be another idea. Sure. Go to
queencityonline.com is another resource you got that you can remember quickly and easily. And that's awesome. Appreciate all you're doing. And as it gets colder up there, one of the tremendous needs right now are coats, shirts, flannel shirts, blankets, socks, clothes.
Yeah.
Clothes.
Yeah. So, Ray, I'll tell you, they're asking and requesting new coats.
Oh, absolutely.
And so we're trying to work on that side of it. But if you've got older coats and want to drop them off, we're going to set up some collection bins at the stores here too shortly. And I'll get them up to the Goodwills and the people up there that will take those. If they do drop those off, we'll have a secondary bin for it. But the real charitable, you know, Goodwill and Salvation Army, they're kind of set up for that. The other ones aren't. You know, they can't clean them. They can't get them ready to sell. That kind of or ready to
sure.
You know, sell. They sell coats for $1.50 or something like that. You know,
gotcha.
To kind of recoup for their cleaning process and stuff like that. But if you've got them, bring them. We'll handle it. You know, diapers, baby formula. That was the other thing we collected. And this kind of made me tear up a little bit. Stuffed animals. We must have 3,000 stuffed animals that people dropped off.
Wow, that's amazing.
Look for another thing we're going to be doing too. Christmas, you know, that's next. And Christmas items for the young kids out there. It's going to be tough. And so look for Angel Tree, the Angel Tree program. That is connected to the Salvation Army up there. And I went in one of their stores yesterday up in the mountains and just to make sure that they push the effort up there and get as many kids as they can on their roster. And it's one of those deals where you can go online, register for it, and the kids have a request, I guess, and you can donate the money to accomplish that and help them get that gift.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for all the info.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Well, it was a lot of fun too, Ray, just seeing everybody come
well,
together.
Well, you know what? But, Roddy, on that note, spreading love is fun.
Yes,
it's so enriching to give and expect nothing. Unconditional love for your fellow human man. You know, it's just, and we're seeing an outpour of it right now, and we need it right now because we're so divided and so we're so crazy right now because of everything that we're seeing.
Ray, we can't forget either, because you know. Their bins are full up there, to be honest with you, today. They've got a lot of water. They've got a lot of food. They've got a lot of clothes. Matter of fact, can I give you another website?
Sure.
There's a volunteer website or kind of an update. It's called Supporting, with an ING on the end of it, supportingwnc.com. And it's lists a whole bunch of charities in Western North Carolina, and it kind of tells you their status.
Awesome.
It tells you what they collect, and they may put a pause on collecting water because they don't have any more space for it.
That's
but it also tells you where they need boots on the ground too.
Okay, that's supportingwnc.com.
Yeah, it's under development. So the website's getting better each day for communicating information. But some women up there started talking about that. And actually, the people that helped us at No Child Hungry helped develop and build the website just so that people would have a conduit of information flow. And so I hate to call it a website because it's kind of a, I don't know what they call it, some kind of spreadsheet or hot sheet or something.
Well, whatever it is, it's a landing page to give you information, and the information's on it, and that's all that's important.
Yep, it's sorted by county and then organizations and what their needs are and what their needs aren't, and then if they can use boots on the ground, because, you know, a lot of people want to go up there and help. So,
well, if you're going up there, you need some direction. You can't go up there cold without a plan, and that's been expressed by everyone. You need to have some direction, especially now after, you know, as we move forward, you know. And I've even thought about when I would go up there and help building, you know, with building, because the rebuilding process is going to start. It's already started in many, many, many different ways, and it started. But there's a lot of rebuilding to do, and the unfortunate thing is you have to have accessibility, which is being achieved now, and people who can do it.
Yeah.
So that, there you go. So,
can your can some of those young people you're talking to do some projects and things like that up there?
I would hope so. But that's going to take some collective gathering and leadership. And that has been hard to find lately because everybody's too busy.
Mm. Yeah.
But as it comes together, it's a tremendous, tremendous learning experience in so many different ways. So my brain's headed that way, but not right this minute, because we've got to build the infrastructure behind it, as you well know.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's go another direction real quick. I love the info. Thank you for the love, man. I appreciate what all you do at Queen City.
Well, I appreciate the Charlotte community helping step up and help us make it happen.
It takes a village for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Christmas, the holidays are coming. Okay. I talked to a customer this week, gave him direction on a vent hood. He called and he says, "Ray, unfortunately, it's going to take a month to get it." I said, "Okay, fine, I'll wait, but no problem." But talk to me about availabilities, inventory, everything, because the holidays are, it is October 19th, a month away from Thanksgiving, a month away from Christmas.
That's right. We got to do business too, don't we? Along with this other stuff, we got to do business.
Well, we got to make the world turn, you know. Yes, sir.
Black Friday's starting in just a couple of weeks, really.
I know. That's why I said it. The other day I was sitting there, I said, I got to call Roddy, man. It's on top of us.
Yeah, it's happening. There's no question about it. Availability is we're past all that COVID stuff.
Okay.
But it's not perfect. There's no question about it. It's not perfect. And, you know, we were scared to death about these port strikes and all that kind of stuff, because we get some product comes in from overseas still, and not only product but components to make products, and so we're worried about that. So thankfully they worked out this first run. I think they've got to get back together in January. It's another deadline maybe, but we're okay. There's plenty of product out there, and so we've got in our barns and we're continuing. But the Black Friday programs will start really that first week of November. And they look pretty strong, pretty aggressive. Industry to be candid with is a little tough right now, so I think the manufacturers are hungry to try and move some products. I think it'll be pretty aggressive. No question, it's gonna be aggressive from what I'm seeing so far. And we'll have everything in place here and ready for that early November start. We've got some. Oh, and the other thing about this disaster, Ray, we've got some special financing that we've got in place for it. That they've come out and reduced the cost of us to put these free interest programs in place. So we're going to drive a little bit of that too to help. It's North and South Carolina have the opportunity we'll be running 12-month Famous Cash programs, and it won't cost us as much money, so we can keep our pricing down lower, so we don't have to pay for that in essence. So like we typically have to cushion our pricing a little bit to cover it. So we've got that too. So I'm also working with some of the manufacturers about disaster relief rebates.
Gotcha.
So we'll have those in place here in a little bit too for the people that are affected by it. But Black Friday's on. You know, it's going to be a big television season too. You know, I wish our football team was playing a little bit better. That always helps if they're playing good football, or TV business.
Yeah.
But it's coming along too. So, we're hanging in there.
All right.
And they're getting ready for it.
Well, I really appreciate you calling in this morning, and we'll get you in here before the holidays if we can.
Let's do it. Let's do it, brother.
And talk about TVs, new technology, new. It's always changing, right?
That's right, bro. Yes, sir. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate the time, buddy.
Thank you, Roddy. Have a happy Saturday. Take care. You bet. God bless. All right, and that's Roddy Player, Queen City Audio, Video, and Appliance, 391-704-391-6000, corporate number, queencityonline.com. Holidays are around the corner. If you're going to buy new appliances or want new appliances for your kitchen, get out and shop. But I make one hint or one helpful hint to you. Use your measuring tape and measure your appliances before you go buy them. Please, you'll save yourself.
Not like this.
You save yourself.
It's about this wide. Yeah,
you'll save yourself a lot of problems and stress. I promise you. A measuring tape. It's amazing. And people ask me, why do I need to read a measuring tape? Well, duh. We'll be back. All right. Welcome back to About Your House. What time is it? I don't even know what time it is. Time flies when you're having fun. You know, radio to me every Saturday morning's fun. Today's a great show. I love it because we've got youth in the studio today. And we got a newcomer, Ethan Wells. Ethan Wells, step up to the mic there, boy. Ethan, how old are you?
I'm 16.
All right, where are you from?
I'm from Rock Hill.
Where were you born?
Fort Mill. I don't know which hospital I was born
in. It doesn't matter. Fort Mill's good. That hospital down there in Fort Mill, that's where you were born, right?
And you're not sure.
Huh? Right?
I'm not sure if that's the one I was born in, but
that's close enough. You was born down there in York County, right? York County, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's close enough. Okay. So you're a homie. You know what a homie is?
I'm not sure.
Well, that's two things you're going to learn right out of the gate. That's Southern slang for a hometown boy in your hometown. Now, you could say, no, I'm from Rock Hill. Isn't that right down the street from Charlotte?
Yeah.
So I'd call it Charlotte Metro, right?
Yeah.
Charlotte Metro. Okay. All right. You were homeschooled, right? I was told that.
Yes,
so I don't want to waste time. I'm going to plow right into that. So how many siblings do you have?
I have 8 siblings.
8. Wow. You got an army there. That's awesome. Where do you fit in that? What's the pecking order?
I'm the 4th oldest.
You're the 4th oldest. You're the middlest.
Almost.
You're one of the middlest.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a middlest, too. It feels good, doesn't it, to be in the middle?
Yeah.
You know, you don't get all, but you get some, you know, and you can kind of pick the direction you want to go. You know, 6, 8 kids?
There's 9 of us.
9 of them. There's 8 brothers and sisters. Yeah. How many boys and girls?
There's 6 boys, 5 not including me, and then 3 girls.
Gotcha. That's awesome. And y'all live in Rock Hill, homeschooled.
Yeah. Well, some my sister moved to Tennessee. The oldest.
The oldest sister. How old is she?
She is, I think, turning 22 this
What's
month.
She doing these days?
She works. I'm not sure what she does. I know she was doing some babysitting.
Right.
But I don't know.
So she's exploring life.
Yeah.
You just told me. You know, and that's cool. But you're 16 years old. What are you doing these days? Where are you going? What grade are you in?
I am
supposedly
11th grade.
You're in the 11th grade. 16. Yeah. Early 11th grader.
Yeah.
So you'll graduate. You can possibly graduate as early as 17, right?
Yeah. I'm likely going to graduate this year.
Okay, cool.
Wow.
All right. And how do you graduate? I mean, how does a homeschooler graduate from high school? Because I'm ignorant. I do not know.
I just need enough credits.
Kevin could ask me. Kevin could probably answer it, but that's fine. Go ahead.
I just need enough credits, and then once I get all my credits, all my different maths, all my different histories and all that, then I can just graduate.
Do you have a test? Take a test?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, cool. All right. You're on the show for a reason. Thank you, Matthew Query. Matthew reached out to Ethan. How do you know Ethan?
We go to church together. So he actually serves on my wife's team at church. So he and his whole family are beautiful family. They all serve at church. And so Ethan actually serves with my wife back helping like 3- and 4-year-olds, right?
Yeah.
Like basically wrangle them. So does a great job back there.
You're a herder. You heard a little bit.
He's patient is what he is.
Children. I love children. You know, so you're a children herder.
Basically, yeah.
That works.
It's like herding cats.
Yeah, that works. All right. What do you love to do? What's your passion?
No, I'm not sure. I like to mow lawns, but I don't know if I'd say that's my passion. I enjoy it, but I don't know if I'll always enjoy it.
Let me ask you this. Do you know how to fix the lawnmower?
Yes, sir.
That's a biggie. The heck with mowing it, mm-hmm. but you can fix it when it breaks, right?
Yeah.
Do you find value in that? Do you like fixing the lawnmower?
I enjoy fixing it. Sometimes when I got lawns to mow, it makes it really stressful because I got to fix it in time.
Well, welcome to life, big boy. Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's one of the things you're learning, right?
Yeah.
No, you don't want to break. It's like going down the road and you get a flat tire. I bet you've changed the tire on a car, haven't you?
I haven't changed it. We've taken it off to replace the brake pads.
Brake pad. But did you help with the brake pads?
No, my dad had to, we were replacing it on my friend's car, so
he went
to get the brake pads, and then I did an oil change, helped my dad with an oil change.
Cool. That's it. You're an entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. What are you doing in your spare time now?
I mainly just, I mow, I play video games sometimes, and I do school. That's pretty much it.
But when you mow grass, have you got a business? Do you work under the pretense of a landscaper? Do you do anything outside the mowing of grass?
I do. I've done some, redoing flower beds and things like that. Mm-hmm. I want to do more in the future. I haven't done a ton of it.
Let me give you a hint. Learn about irrigation. Mm.
I got an aerator this fall. I rented it. And it was pretty fun. So
you're expanding your envelope of opportunity.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But if you learn, and I'm just saying, if you learn irrigation, you know what irrigation is, right? In mowing grass, you got to know about irrigation heads, right? Maybe.
I think.
Well, you'll learn when you hit one or two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, you got an aerator. You're talking about irrigation.
Irrigation's water.
Water pops up out of the ground.
Water pops up. Have you ever been on a yard, mowing yard, and all of a sudden the irrigation system comes on and you get wet?
No. When I was doing the aerator, though, one of the guys had to turn them on to see where they were.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
See, but you learned something that day, didn't you?
Yeah.
You didn't know that before then, did you?
No.
That was a moment, you know. But that's what I'm talking about. See, there's a shortfall in labor in about every trade and every aspect of home maintenance and upkeep, I would say. Wouldn't you agree with that? Mm-hmm. Pretty much shortage, and people don't know. So if you're 16 years old and you've already got so much knowledge about your hands, using your hands and your ability to think, critical think, right? Mm-hmm. Critical thinking's the key. Well, you're already doing that. And, you know, you wouldn't have learned it in public school because they don't teach it in public school, do they?
Not anymore.
Nope.
Not anymore.
Nope. And that's awesome. Well, I'm glad you brought him in here. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you aspire to be 16 right now? And if you don't know, it's okay.
What do I aspire to be when I'm older?
Yeah.
I want to be a successful entrepreneur. I don't know if that'll be doing landscaping for the rest of my life. But I wanna.
Now, what do you consider being an entrepreneur? I want to hear a 16-year-old's definition of what do you envision that to be.
I would say, successfully maintaining my own business.
Well, I asked Jaquan yesterday morning the same thing. What would make you happy? Really, I'm asking what? 'Cause see, what do you want in life, Ethan? You want to be happy, don't you?
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're happy, you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
You hope. I mean, some people can be happy drinking beer, playing video games all day. I don't get that because you have no purpose and you're not serving anyone. But you serve. You serve at church. You serve by cutting people's lawns and giving them service, and you have purpose, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's entrepreneurship, is it not? Is it? Isn't that what that is?
Yeah, absolutely.
See, that's the new word that I criticized one day, and I apologize because, see, y'all are being taught entrepreneurship, okay? But an entrepreneurship is nothing but being successful at your purpose in life. Is that a simplistic version? Is that pretty good? You want to add to it? Hey, I'm seeking answers here.
I mean,
I hear it a lot. When you talk to kids, you get 15 kids together, okay? Even middle schoolers. Mm-hmm. Now, it's new to me. You ask them all what they want to be when they grow up, and a lot of middle schoolers have no clue, which is...
That's okay.
That's wonderful. I think that's the best avenue, you know. But you ask them, what do you want to be? I'm going to be an entrepreneur. And then I have to say, in what? But you just said, I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. I think that's okay. I think
it's great.
I think part of the problem, even going into like public education, is that they kind of... They try to push you down a path, right?
They don't try.
Go to college.
They ain't no trying.
Yeah, well, and I think that's why a lot of people have, and this is my personal opinion, I think that's why midlife crises exist. Men and women get to their middle ages, and, you know, the career that they were basically
programmed
to go into, uh-huh. They get to middle ages and they haven't been taught to critically think like Ethan or like Jaquan, and they don't know what to do with themselves, and they feel like, oh well,
now, Jaquan has no, and I'm not trying to criticize, he knows this, right? I'm not jumping. He doesn't know critical thinking, and I wish he did for him, because these are life skills.
Yeah, absolutely. So that, you know, you get to your middle ages and you either get laid off or your career ends.
Everything you worked for in
everything
corporate.
You, and then you're like, well, what do I do? But I think entrepreneurship is beautiful because it's not necessarily putting somebody in a box. You want to work for yourself. You want to serve other people. You want to make a buck, you know.
I'm going to tell you something about the box. Can I add about the box?
Sure.
I hate the box.
Sure.
Because, see, they put everybody in a box. And if you don't, and this is my problem in life, because I don't want to be in the box. Kevin, you're not in the box. Kevin says, oh, heck no. Mm-hmm. You know, and we don't want to be boxed. And that's the true meaning of life, when you want to think on your own, be critical thinking, be creative, be imaginative, be a creator. Well, you know, you're thinking too much. You're too smart. You're going to figure this mess out. Well, see, that's my problem. I done figured it all out. And Kevin, you figured it out a little bit too, and so have you, Matthew. That's why you went from home inspection to contracting, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
We're finding our way that fits our box.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't fit the box, it's hard to coexist in some areas. Wouldn't you agree with that, Kevin?
Yeah, and I think that going back to what we were saying about entrepreneurship and having confidence is
self-confidence.
Self-confidence is that even if you don't know what it is that you want to do when you are older, but you know that you want to do something that allows you to be free, that gives you confidence.
Empowering.
You want to have the power and the personal agency to make your own decisions in life rather than asking your boss for time off, rather than asking your boss if you can get a promotion, rather than asking your boss for this or that. You're your own boss. And then that's the kind of entrepreneurship that I wanted. I knew that I wanted to own my own business. I was tired of teaching for 9 years. But
so you were a teacher for 9 years?
I was a teacher for 9 years.
And English?
Teaching English in Asia.
Okay.
And I thought, I'm done with this. I'm tired of this. I want to run my own life. And that's why I want to become an entrepreneur. And I already knew how to paint. Knowing how to manage a business was a different skill set I had to learn.
Absolutely.
But I already had the basic skills of knowing how to paint, and then I could figure out, well, if I get into the right social circles and business networking groups, then I could learn how to run my own business.
How's that working for you?
It's going great. I mean, it's been an uphill battle. I've certainly
made
a lot of mistakes.
You're still educating yourself.
Right.
You're going to college.
I'm middle-aged, and I'm still learning, but that's okay. And a lot of people are afraid to even take the first step into entrepreneurship because they don't know what they want to do, and they're afraid to start making mistakes, but that's how you learn and grow. And there's a lot of freedom.
Matter of fact, you need
that.
To fail. If you ain't doing nothing, you'll never learn anything.
Right.
You got to fail. And as somebody said earlier, fail forward.
Yep.
You know. and you've done that at 40 years old. You're just getting there, big guy.
I started when I was 35, but yeah.
but no, seriously, 40 to me is the age of where your head's all the way out, if you get my drift.
Right.
You know. Right there, Rishon, buddy. But seriously, 40's that age of, you know, well, look at you. You just made a transition. You're 44?
In my job.
Huh?
Transition in my job.
Well, that's a transition. Your job is half, most, not most, but a vast majority of your life. Well, it's your passion. It's what you do, right?
Yep.
It's what you do.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, how's it going?
It's going okay. I mean, I'm busy. I think I'm too busy. The biggest thing for me transitioning from
you too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. You put yourself out there as a light construction handyman. People call you really quickly. But my mentality of going from home inspections to, if they call me, if I can't get to it within a week, then I've got to forfeit the job. Probably they'll find somebody else too.
You mean that is the way the trending is going right now? If you're not quick and responsive, they'll just reach out. Find
100%, because realtors, they.
Oh, you're dealing with realtors now because of your network.
Well, no, this was home inspection, so I'm transitioning my mindset from needing to have the job within 1 week to, hey, I can tell you that I'm booked out for a little while, and if you want to go somewhere else, that's fine, but there's a lot more work, if that makes sense.
Oh, so it makes perfect sense to me.
My first few months kind of full-time doing this have been like, oh, I've got to get this done within a week. If I don't, and I've been working my fingers to the bone and, you know, at all hours during the day and trying to work on weekends and go meet clients. And I'm like, that doesn't need to happen. They can wait. And it's okay.
Yeah, you're in control, remember
well,
that.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You're in control.
Yeah,
but that's a hard transition.
Yeah, it was a hard transition. But
yeah. It's like one guy
called
me.
That's the beauty of being my own boss.
Right.
I take vacation when I want. I set my own pay rate. And I think that's a big thing getting into entrepreneurship.
Well, that's the business
side. It's to know what you're worth. You want to know what you're worth, and don't be afraid to charge people for it.
And don't be afraid to say no. Mm-hmm. You know, you give somebody a price, and they say that's too high. I say, okay. Thank you very much. I enjoyed talking to you. Appreciate the opportunity. I'll talk to you later.
Yep.
They say, where are you going? Say, well, you don't want to use me. Yep. Well, why? Because I'm too high. Well, let's talk.
Yeah. The people.
Get
the people,
back here, boy.
The people that argue with you about your price being too high are probably not the people you want to work with anyway. They're going to be the people that are going to nitpick every single, I see a blade of grass out there that you missed. You need to get out there, boy. You know? And so know what you're worth and know
but
how to
be
charge.
Worth
yeah.
be what
worth
you're
it.
Worth.
Be worth it.
Be worth more than you charge.
Yeah.
It's just like you find when you get to a job, we want to leave the job cleaner than when we got there. Mm-hmm. Same concept, mm-hmm. You know? And that's just good solid work ethic, right, Kev?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because I know when you go into paint, you got to move tables, you got to move end tables, you got to move lamps, you got to move pictures.
Got to protect everything there.
And you got to protect it, and you know, because you don't want to buy it.
Right. And I've done that. I've.
Well, but you failed, didn't you? You messed up that day.
I broke a crock pot in somebody's kitchen, and I had to buy him a new one. Yeah.
Yep, it happens. Oh, I can't even begin to tell you all the stuff I've had to replace over the years. But you know what? It happens. But
yep.
That's the way I learned, too. Jaquan can tell you, when we go into a job, we put hardboard. I'm going to go out this afternoon. I'm going to put a disappearing stairway in. It's been years since I put a disappearing stairway in. I need to practice. Okay. Now, but before I do, I'm going to cover the floor with a moving quilt, and then I'm going to cover that quilt with two pieces of hardboard, you know, to protect it in case a tool falls and hits the floor and won't ding the floor and somebody, you dinged my floor. Oh, God. Now I got to follow up with another call to fix the ding in the floor. You follow?
Yeah.
So it. You know, but how long did it take you to learn that? And these idiot plumbers and electricians who go in a house and don't do anything and protect the counters and protect, that annoys me, you know. And then when they leave, they don't clean up. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
I've actually been hired by a lot of clients to come in after they hired other painters. I've had to go in and fix their mistakes and clean up after them.
You too?
Yeah.
Really?
I've gotten a lot of jobs like that.
More and more and more the older you get, right?
Yep.
Because stupid has become a serious disease.
They would get wall paint on the baseboards and hire me to come in and paint the baseboards.
That's right.
So.
But, you know, it's a shame. You hear what he just said? You know, that people, and you know, people just accept it now.
Right.
God, where we've come is so bad. Where is pride gone? Hey, let's, and I get on my soapbox again. Never mind, I'll back up. Put tools in schools. All this has things, all this is around that program. Mm-hmm.
How put do tools we? Tools in homeschools.
Well, speaking of which, you know, and I don't know how to reach out. I went to a homeschool store down in Matthews and gave him my card, but, you know, people are too busy to, you know, and they don't know me. They have no clue what I do or what we're doing. But I would love to get with more homeschool networks, and I'm doing an outreach right now, this little thing. And I'll tell you what, I'll wait till I come back, and I want to reach out to homeschool networks because homeschooling has exploded since COVID. And it's something that I'd love to reach out to homeschool networks, but we'll talk more about it. You're listening to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Stream us live, YouTube live, Facebook live, FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com on your browser. There's ways to hear us. Reach out. We're here. We'll be right back with more About Your House. All right, welcome back. Talking to Ethan Wells during the break, and what questions you
have? Yeah, what's the name of your company, Ethan?
So right now it's just Ethan's Lawn Mowing.
Nice.
I want to get something a little bit more creative, but I don't got anything yet.
That's all good.
I mean, how long you been cutting grass in an entrepreneurship manner?
Well, I've been cutting grass for neighbors since I was like 10.
Sound like me.
Yeah, me too. Me too. That's where I started. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Since you were 10.
Yeah, but I didn't like, I just kind of did a few lawns. Like maybe, I think my most was like 4 until this year. I really wanted to like turn it into a full-time thing.
So uh-huh.
I'm not quite there yet, but by next summer, I want to be able to do it 5 days a week.
You got a savings account?
I don't, no, I don't.
Where you save your money? Do you save money?
Are
you spending your money or saving it?
I
know you got to spend cost of living, okay? You got living cost in there. In other words, if I want a new game, I go buy a game.
You want to reward yourself. Yeah.
Right. You got to, I mean, what are you working for?
That's right.
You know, you got to buy yourself stuff. Keep talking.
So I spend, most of the money I spend is on the business itself.
Mm. Cool. Putting it back in it.
Yeah.
Good. Awesome.
And then I get paid a lot in cash, so I just have a safe up in my room. And
there's your saving account right there.
And then I cool. got, yeah, I have a bank account, but it's not really a savings account.
Well, it's a bank account, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you can't hold the money in your hand, so you put it in the bank. You got money in your bank account?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Same thing. So you're building money. Mm-hmm. You're building it. You're saving your money. You're investing back in your company, and everything's moving right ahead.
He's going to take those stacks of cash into the car dealership when he buys his first truck.
And
go. Here's cash money.
There you go.
I'll likely get it when off of Facebook Marketplace.
Hey, that's all good.
I wish I could get it the car
dealership. Those people only like cash anyway, so.
Yeah.
Right. What kind of lawnmower you got?
I have an Exmark Zero Turn.
Nice.
Oh, you got a pivot steer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wasn't looking for that answer.
Mm, yeah.
Now you drive that sucker around the neighborhood?
Yeah, I have a trailer that like a mini trailer that I attach to it, and I put all my tools in it.
And what do you carry the trailer with?
It hooks onto the mower.
Hooks onto the mower?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got your mower as your little tractor and your little trailer behind it, and you just buzz around.
Yep.
That's cool. What, and a pivot steer. Mm-hmm. All right, you whooping.
Did you get your aerator to attach to the back of the mower, or is it self-propelled?
It was self-propelled.
Those are manhandle you, won't they?
Yeah.
Those are kind of difficult to deal with out of the gate, aren't they?
Yeah, I would say it's probably the hardest day I've ever had.
I can dig that. I'm looking at you and how big you aren't. How big you aren't, and you manhandling.
Keep doing
hey,
some
look,
air raids.
Let me tell you something. Up. First air raider I ever used, that's something we got to put Jaquan behind. Say, go aerate the yard and watch him. You know, it's like handling a floor sander. You ever done a floor sander?
Terrible.
How about you, Kevin?
I've never done it myself, but I've seen it. My father's done it before. Yeah.
See, well, I'm sure your father has. But a floor sander is kind of like that, but not as bad as an aerator.
Yeah.
You gotta.
That is a hard day. You're right.
Man, that's a very hard day. How many yards do you aerate?
Like 8.5.
In one day?
Yeah. I didn't do all of our lawn. Just my dad did some of our lawn once I was already.
Wow.
It was getting dark, so I was done for the
day. Can I ask you what you charge for to aerate a yard?
It was my first time, so I wanted to keep my prices a little bit lower just to kind of get a feel for it.
For eight in a day, that ain't bad. Go ahead.
I think the cheapest lawn I did was $65, and then the most expensive one was $140.
You made $500 that day.
Oh, yeah.
Close to, yeah, I can do the math. Nice. I should have asked you, Quan, do the math. What you got there, bud? But seriously. That ain't a bad day. $500, 16 years old, aerating 8 yards in one day.
Yeah.
And one of them was your dad kind of kicked in at the end of the day to get yours done.
Yeah, I started with ours to kind of get used to it. So yeah. I did by like our side yard. And then once I was done for the day, I couldn't go back to our yard. I was too tired. Yeah. So my dad just.
Bet you slept good that night, didn't you?
Yeah. Golly, 8 yards.
8 yards in a day. That's
to be
awesome.
Young again, I had to do one and I'd be done.
A good workout, though, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's good. You going to do it again this year?
And
by the way, it's aeration season if you hadn't picked up on it.
Yeah, well, I just.
It's time to go, boy.
It was like 2 weeks ago or maybe.
Oh, you already did it 2 weeks ago. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're.
I was hoping to get the ride-on ones, but the website wasn't, like, quite right, so we had booked it on the website, and it didn't work. So the guy called us and said, didn't actually have it booked. We got it.
Well, you
needed
the experience. That's a blessing in disguise, because now you know what it's like to push one or follow it. Yeah. Actually, you follow it and direct it. It kind of takes it where itself, where it wants to go, right?
Now you can charge more because now you know how hard it is and how many people will not do it because it's very difficult. And just renting that machine at Home Depot does not make you an aeration expert.
No.
And it certainly will tire you out. So it's worth every single dime people want to
charge.
That's
like a floor sander, and I got to relate it. And I used a floor sander as a comparison, maybe not a good one, okay? But I'll tell you this, if you've never sanded a floor with a drum sander and you don't know what you're doing, don't do it. You will screw the floor up. I've screwed several up. I've also done a pretty good job, after failing a few times. But, you know, like old Kevin over there, ain't going to get me. I'm going to do it myself, you know, right?
I know my limits. I'm not going to do something that I know I'm going to screw up.
I didn't know I was. I thought I had it down. That was ego. Yep. You know, I got this. When I finished the floor, I looked back at it and says, oh, God, that's hideous. You know, and I said, we're going to carpet it or something. But now with LVP, that would have been the answer. But that was back prior to LVP. LVP's the answer to everything. I like it. You like it?
You know, I don't know. I'm kind of over it. I think it looks
anything. That's what
I love
about it.
Some of it looks nice, but. I'm pretty traditional. I really like.
You want the real stuff.
I really like the hardwoods.
Well, I do too.
Yeah.
But when you screw one up, when you don't know what you're doing, you need to cover it up. Yeah. But anyway, Ethan, it's great to hear you was going to ask where to. You think you're going to evolve your landscaping business and go forward because here's the thing, you're buying equipment. Mm. Equipment's an investment. Do you pay for your lawnmower?
Yeah, so I started with my dad's push mower. I got a residential Cub Cadet lawnmower.
Uh-huh.
And it was always I got it used, and it was always broken. Mm.
Did you fix it much?
A whole lot. my dad helped me a lot fixing it. And then I got an X mark this year at the beginning of the summer.
Right. What's your dad do, if I might ask?
He works for Spectrum.
Okay. The media people, I think. I don't know what Spectrum is.
I mean, it's a lot of different things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. It's connectivity. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, the big people like AT&T. Yeah,
Is there something you want to add to your business next year?
Yeah, so next year I'm going to hope to have my trailer, my truck, and have everything set up so I'm not restricted to my neighborhood.
So you want a truck. What kind of truck does he want?
Something that's in the budget and will work well. My dad does a lot of research to know, like, what trucks are easiest to work on, which ones break down. So he's helping me find one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. So a year from now, you're going to have your truck.
I'm hoping to have that by the springtime. Because then I've done a few lawns outside of our neighborhood. Took in our van, and I've hooked up one of our trailers, but I got a new enclosed trailer.
Mm. Oh, box trailer.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm hoping to.
You going
to
pull that behind your mower?
No.
That's pretty big. I was going to say, boy, you.
No, I'm going to pull out behind the truck.
So you got a box trailer, too?
Yeah.
You're way ahead of the
game. So we need to get you some logos then, right? Get that thing wrapped.
Yeah.
We got a guy, don't we, Kevin?
Now, let's talk about rapping a little bit here. You know, I go way back for the rapping days. We talked about sign painting, Kevin, right? Back in the day, you were first top drawer with a sign painted on your truck. And Tommy Craig, there again, painted my truck and taught me to do what a sign painting was all about. And it's all in the brush, preparation, and paint. Like everything, actually. All painting jobs are pretty much the same, wouldn't you say? It's prep, equipment, quality of paint, right?
Yeah, I mean, preparation is 90% of the work.
That's right. Prep. If you paint on a unprepped surface, why are you doing it? Why? All you're going to do is just set yourself up for failure, and you're going to have to redo it in time. Maybe not immediately, but don't you just love it when you go into a door jam and you put a scraper on it and the whole layer of paint comes off?
I've never had that experience. It's never been that easy.
Well, I didn't mean it all comes off, but most of it comes off because they didn't sand it or do any prep work before they put that latex in that semi-gloss enamel on it.
Oh, yeah. Or, it's an oil-based paint that the previous owners had put on the door, and then they put latex over it without priming it first. That's the story of my house. So all the paint on all the doors in my house are coming off. Well, not all the doors, because some of the doors were painted with latex and some were painted with oil-based.
Right.
And I don't know which ones are which, so we're having to do a scraping game.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Because it wasn't prepped properly prior to painting, right?
Right.
Prepping's everything. So back to the sign painting. Okay. And wrapping. I got to talk about this a minute, only because I want to. Okay. All these trucks wrapped, right? Lot of money to wrap a truck. And that's okay. I mean, if you got money, spend it. Shoot, yeah. But don't you find out some of these wraps distracting? They're so busy, you lose the point.
You shouldn't look at my element then. Just stay away.
You're an artist. And that's conveyed in your element, I can tell. Just by some of the stuff. And we ain't through talking. We got to talk about that stuff you put on walls sometimes.
Okay.
Where does that come from? Your creativity, right? You're pretty expressive, right?
Yeah.
I'd say so. Well, you go on faith. All right. Folks, you can go and see his work or his mindset on Facebook.
Yeah, just look up Fry Custom Painting 2.0 because the 1.0 was defunct and there's a long story behind that. But you can also look up my Instagram account. It's just at Fry Custom Painting, FryCustomPainting.
Custom paint, Fry's Custom Painting.
Fry. Custom Painting.
No, well, see, I wanted to screw up to hear you correct me so they'd hear it. Fry, no S,
yeah,
right?
F-R-Y-E. Okay.
No ownership there, just Fry. He's an individual, all to himself. He's got his own little box going on.
Yep. It's my world.
It's your world. Yep. All right, we're going to take a break here. Hey, this is the top of the hour break. Where did it go? Oh, my goodness. 10 o'clock, top of the hour, About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. I've got Matthew Query with Freedom Contracting, Kevin Fry from Fry, just no S, Fry Custom Painting, and my friend Eric Wells.
Ethan.
Excuse me, Ethan.
It's fine.
Name game I play. Ethan Wells, future landscaping guru. And then we have Jaquan Imbrack, who's learning how to be a whatever. And that's what my goal is, just to be whatever. What do you want? Like people say, Ray, what do you
learning to be wealthy is what he's learning to be.
No, not wealthy.
Yeah.
Well, wealthy's relative, you know? It's relative. you know. Anyway, we're going to come back and talk more about stuff. So come on back. We'll be here.
Ethan, you got to do a picture. You awake yet? Hour number three. Grab another cup of coffee. Matthew Query of Freedom Contracting and Kevin Fry of Fry Custom Painting. Ethan Wells, 16-year-old entrepreneur, and Jaquan Embrack, student and future tradesman, talking all things. Stick around. I got a full house. About Your House is brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. Also brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
All right, welcome back. I want to talk about an event coming up. Well, actually, two real quick. I mentioned earlier the PHCC Education Summit that's going on November 10th. If you're interested in more, you can look up PHCC of the Carolinas. Just Google it, PHCC of the Carolinas. Go to their website. It's an education learning summit on November 10th, 11 a.m., which is a Sunday. If you're a plumber, HVAC, in the trades, and you want more extended, more education in various avenues of your trade, you may want to go there and see what they're offering. That's PHCC. Of the Carolinas. Just Google it and go to their website. No, Sunday, November 10th, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. And I talk a lot about, well, we mentioned BNI, networking. Networking is very beneficial to business and entrepreneurship. Okay? Wouldn't you agree, everybody?
100%.
Okay. So, you know, a networking opportunity, if you're a remodeling contractor and you want to deal and talk to some of the best in Charlotte, or actually, I wouldn't say some. You could look to the best of Charlotte, okay? Not only some of the best, but the best of Charlotte would be a NARI, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry. This Thursday night, October 24th, at Cambria Warehouse, they're having their Halloween, annual Halloween get-together and vendor night. And Puttos and Schools has been invited to have a vendor table, whatever that means. But my buddy Sam Otero with Otero Media, and in conjunction with Put Tools and Schools, we're going to go out there and set up a mini broadcast studio. And we're going to broadcast live, stream live, that event. And we're going to interview professionals into remodeling and interior design. IDS, Interior Design Society, I believe is what IDS stands for, are all invited. About 150 people are expected. We're going to interview them and talk to them about, well, like we do in Kevin and the people here on this program, why, what got you here, how'd you, what was your trip like, what trip, what are you talking about, how'd you get here, how'd you become a successful interior designer, how'd you become a professional remodeling contractor, you know, what drove you here? Well, all the answers are pretty much the same. It's passion, you know, it's creativity, it's expression. And you get to be independent and just create. It's just a beautiful feeling. So we're going to do that Thursday night at the NARI meeting. And if you would like to attend, or you're interested in going to a NARI meeting or NARI event, or get involved in remodeling and networking and all that kind of groovy stuff, NARICharlotte.com. NARICharlotte.com, or Google. You can Google anything, you know, and it just kind of like a shortcut. Like, I Googled you, Kevin, and, you know, and there you are. There he was. You know, you Facebook, click on it, first line. There he is. And so, you know, technology's great when it works, if you got a router nearby. You got to have a router, you know. But anyway, I just wanted to cover those events because it's industry-related. It's things that we need to talk more about in our community. And what's available out there. And we're going to do more of it as we go forward. And I'm looking forward to doing the live broadcast. That's going to be kind of neat. Never done it before. So that's a few events you need to know about. But today, here on About Your House, I got Matthew Query with Freedom Contracting, Kevin Fry with Fry Custom Painting, I got my new entrepreneur in front of me called Ethan Wells. And what's the name of your company? You gonna name it?
Just Ethan's Lawn Mowing.
Ethan's Lawn Mowing now.
But yeah, for now.
But you're being creative, and you want a different name with a logo and this, that, and the other. You know, the first thing I did later on in life, whenever I came up with something, you know, a company, nonprofit, whatever, we always had to have a logo. It's part of the brand, right? Like you did. You did the same thing. Look at him. Went out and got T-shirts, whole nine yards. Got caps, too?
They're on order.
There you go. I figured as much. And next time I see Ethan, he's going to have a shirt on. But he's waiting to pin his brand, your brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what branding is?
I think.
Branding is your look. Like the logo, we were talking about wrapping trucks before the break, and back to wrapping trucks, they're too busy. Have you ever noticed that? If you're a stoplight and there's a wrapped truck beside you, can you read everything on that truck? Lord, no. Why you put it on there then? What's important? Custom painting. Or your name, Fry Custom Painting. You don't have a sign on your truck.
I do have a sign on my truck. I do have a wrap, but it's very small. I just have one on each side, and it just says Fry Custom Painting, gives my phone number. And that's
all you need.
Because people are not going to sit there and write down a website or something like that. Usually.
Thank you. That's my point exactly. All these trucks going around town, they're busy as heck. It causes a wreck. Yeah. Oh, what were you doing when you hit that car? I was reading a truck.
I've had some close calls.
Yeah, I know. Say, what were you reading the truck for? Because it was there. It took my attention, you know. But have you ever noticed how busy wraps are? Some of them, good Lord, mercy. What you put all out on your truck for? I can't even see what your message is. Yeah, that's my take on wraps. Not that you care, but I thought I'd throw it out there. Well, you got the right idea. Who am I? I'm Fry Custom Painting. Here's my phone number. Call me. End of story.
And the rest is just decorative. It's just a lot of lines and design and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to flip back to you a minute, Kevin. I looked at your pictures and stuff, your artwork. You're very artistic, you know, in nature. How do you work with your clientele? If you've got, like, I know, and I'm not going to ask you because you've already shown me. You go into houses sometimes and see things that's not there. Right?
Yeah, sure. You can say I hallucinate. Yeah,
but you get where I'm coming from. The artistic look, yeah. That black and white picture you painted on the wall. You walk in there. How'd that come about? And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's actually dark teal and white, and it's in my son's bedroom. But I wanted.
Okay, I didn't notice the teal, but that's okay. I wasn't looking
so,
that close.
I had this design. I really love murals. I really like the idea of doing something creative rather than just painting every room the same color. And my wife and I don't agree on the same color in a lot of places in our house. I like dark colors and she likes light colors, but anyway. So
that's
I thought
pretty common though with male female stuff.
So I thought, all right, but I really want something. I want to take a picture of what I can do to show my clients something that I actually have done. And I have a lot of pen and ink drawings that I've done that are really more intricate than what you see on my website there or my Facebook page.
So you do draw with pen and ink?
I started with pen and ink in high school. I actually started.
Do you ever do calligraphy?
I've tried my hand at it. I'm not very good at it.
Okay, cool.
But I really like a lot of stuff that like henna designs and tribal designs and mosaics and things like that. Those things have always attracted my attention.
I can tell.
And I don't do landscapes. I don't do animal forms. I don't do human forms. So if people say, "Well, can you draw like an undersea landscape with fish?" No, I can't. But if someone
says,
"Well,
you got your niche, you got your area," yeah. And I've met people who would do basically what you want.
But you know, there are people who have asked me to do pinstripes that are varying lengths from each other. So like if you get a wallpaper design, you know, everything's a pattern. Everything's perfectly spaced.
Right, very repetitious.
But some people want something that's a little bit unique, a little bit quirky, a little bit whatever. And I've done that before. And that's a lot of fun. And those things are less expensive. But doing something that's really intricate, like a henna design or a mosaic, those are much more expensive because they take a lot more time and a lot more skill.
They're very labor intensive.
But it's something that's going to stay on your wall for a very long time. And it can really stand out and make an impact in your room.
Right. So. I get you. But that one drawing, how'd you arrive at that? That's in your son's room?
That's in my son's bedroom.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So it wasn't for a client.
I just had ideas, and I've done research, and like I said, I've lived in three different countries, and so I've seen art and the way that they do their architecture and their fashion sense and patterns that they prefer in their cultures. And it's just kind of stuck with me. And so I just pull that stuff up and I put it on a wall together. So
I hear you. I got it. Now, Matthew, I'm going to slide to you because, you know, they're doing the same thing. They just do it in different areas. You just finished a deck and a porch, didn't you? Or both?
Yeah. Still working on one, but finished one.
Your niche is smaller jobs.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If I can be in and out in a day.
Oh, a day?
Yeah. Small stuff.
Do you have a time limit on jobs, like 3 days to a week?
No, not necessarily. I mean, some of the stuff I'll get into subcontracting because I am a licensed residential builder, so I can do that. So I don't necessarily do everything.
Right.
But I'll do smaller stuff typically. So, light electrical, light plumbing.
I hear you.
I love framing. That's my biggest thing I like to do is framing. So
right.
Anything that has to do with like structure, putting things together like that.
I hear you.
I like that.
I'm looking for let me do a little outreach here. Of course, I doubt it's going to give any return, but I'll ask anyway. If anybody out there, excuse me, knows of a custom framer, high-end framer, a great framer, there's a nice house up in the peninsula needing some correction work done for an OCD builder. Okay, but the house is phenomenal, isn't it, Jaquan? He went up there with me this week and saw it. Very, very, very custom. Wow. Blow-away house, really incredible. However, it needs some punch work done, punch list. It's wrapping up. It's been drywalled. There's no paint on any drywall surface. There's no fixtures in here. There's no ceramic tile yet. It's at that stage to finish it. It's all buttoned up, sealed up, everything except for finishes. And it's at that point. But some of the walls in there need some work. So a custom framer. Sounds like a headache, doesn't it? Yep. But I was asked to ask, so I'm just asking. Custom framer. And now how do you get in touch? Google Ray Terry. Use that method again. I'm there, baby. You can get in touch with me. I'm not hard. 704-712-4644. My phone number's on the website, aboutyourhouseradio.com. Put Tools and Schools phone numbers there. I got two email addresses. I'm easy to get in touch with. And by the way, if you want to talk to me for help in any way, shape, or form, just talk, be my friend, be my buddy, whatever. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, I'm available. I answer my phone 9 times out of 10. I'm there. I want to be there. That's what we all need to be. What's the most important thing you do every day?
Communication.
Very good. And I think you got it down now. Okay. Good boy. All right, I think Jaquan's got it, too. He better. But anyway, we got to take a break here. I'm up against the clock within half a minute anyway, so we're going to get out of here and come back on the other side with more Matthew Query, Mr. Kevin Fry, Ethan Wells, and Jaquan Imbrack. I got to think about things sometimes. All right, little Marvin Gaye here. Take us out. You're listening to Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Stream it live. Streaming's the way to go. Radio's by the byway. But it's still out there. Needs to be more community-based. Where'd radio go, guys? Where'd it go? It left. Bye-bye. But we're streaming live every Saturday. Tune us in here, right here on About Your House. We'll be right back. All right.
Show me some Tom Petty.
Welcome back. 704-227-8986, Jaquan Imbrack in the house with Ethan Wells, Mr. Landscaping Guru of the future. What color truck you want?
I'd like dark blue or black, but I don't.
But you don't really care.
Whatever one runs the best for the price.
Dependable.
Yeah.
Dependable. It's easy to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I have an idea you're going to fix it, too. On that note, when I went into business, my first entrepreneurship adventure into business, it was when I got laid off back in a recession back in the early 70s. Sign painting. I took my truck to Tommy Craig, and I said, I want Terry's contracting services written on the side and the phone number. And he said, no problem, and he did. Let me see what that number was. It 537-5720. God, I can remember numbers. I can't remember names worth a flip. But anyway, and drove that Dodge van, 1960-something Dodge van, V8, 318. Never forget it. We got to where we could change a clutch. That's a manual shift, three on the column, three on the stick. Mm-hmm. We could change a clutch in less than 2 hours. I can't even tell you how many clutches that we put in that van, you know. But it was important. But we couldn't do that in this day and time, because it's not that easy, you know. Back in the day, you could do things like that.
Yeah, it's all computerized.
And oh God, you got to know where all the wires and all the vacuum hoses and all this other stuff. It's just way too much nowadays. But to my point, that ease of repair. My son's a believer. He said, "You buy a Chevrolet." He said, "Chevys you can fix." I said, "Not the new ones." No, you'd got to buy an old one, but before this year. And there's some truth to that. I got a 95 Ford F-150. Ah, cream puff. And it needs work, but it's the engine in it, straight six, is bulletproof.
That's kind of what they say about the Ford, the diesel, was it 7.0 liter?
I don't know.
They said that one, those things run forever.
Yeah.
And then
but there's only a few that have that. Distinction, you know.
And they added more technology, and they've just gotten worse.
Yeah, but to that point, and you'll learn to fix it. Something's wrong with it. And not only will you learn to fix it, you'll learn to diagnose it, just like we should do with our health. When you're sick, you should know what's wrong with yourself. When your truck runs bad, you know it. I mean, when you get in your truck and it makes a funny noise, don't you say, what's that? Fix it. How long you had your element?
It's relatively new to me. I just bought it back in December.
Okay. What year?
It's an 04.
I mean, miles on it.
218,000.
Gotcha. And that's your work van.
That's my work
that's
vehicle.
That's your toolbox.
Yep.
You got a family vehicle?
We do. We have a 2011 Toyota Sienna. It's a minivan.
I knew it'd be a minivan.
Total dad vehicle. But, you know, minivans work. They function when you've got a bunch of kids to haul around.
I got one right out in the back. I got it. What's your family car?
Easy. We have a Ford Transit 15 passenger van.
Ha! Yeah. Go figure. Sound like the McGee family. Rodney McGee. You know Rodney? Uh-uh. McGee Brothers Masonry.
Oh, yeah. I love McGee Brothers. They're great people.
Oh, like big family.
Yeah, they literally are. Yeah.
They literally are. Yeah.
Great people.
Well, Rodney McGee's got six kids, and they got the Ford van. You know, that's funny. That's homeschool right there, man. Mm-hmm. Got to have that van. I grew up in construction. I didn't grow up in construction. I had a construction company, and I had four lead men. You know what a lead man is, right? Mm-hmm. All right, one of them was Mark Peer. His goal was to have 10 kids. When he got married, him and his wife, I think it was 10. I know it was 10 because he had 9 when I knew him. Mm-hmm. And then a couple years after that, I went and visited him over in Paul Creek, and there's a little baby crawling around. I says, "Whoa, you made it." He said, "Yep, we got to number 10. And they had a big old Ford van, bus, a little bus. I want a bus. That's what you got to have. And that's y'all's family car?
Yeah.
And how many of you drive the top four?
Yeah.
I got you. You're amazing. I wish you luck. And you don't have any goals. Where you're going, Ethan?
Business wise.
Yeah.
I do have. I wanna be a business owner, and
you already are.
Well, I wanna be able to make a living off of it. I mean, right now.
You already are. Well, relatively speaking, you are. I mean, you're just starting, right?
Yeah.
But what's the greatest thing you have in your life? That's a heavy question, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Love. You got lots of it. You got more love than just that's your powering force right there, is love. You know that? Well, you should. You know, your love of God, your love of country, and your love of family, right? Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
You know, that's, man, there's so many people this day and time don't have that. It's a great gift, and we need to work on it as a country right now more than ever. And you got it. You got it. You got it. We all got it. We all got it. So, Kevin, what's your aspirations? You're 40 years old. You just started. You're a painter, custom painting. What's your niche? Tell the people. Are you for hire?
I am for hire. My goal for the business is I want to develop it into a successful. I want to really focus on the art of painting, and I don't mean just murals and pretty pictures and stuff, but I mean, like, I want to be really good at what I do. I want to be really good. I want to be the go-to guy for when someone needs something done right the first time. I want people to say, that's Kevin Fry. That's what I want. And I also want to teach other people how to do this. So that's why I'm currently offering.
That's what I was hoping to hear.
Training sessions for, well, I mean, it's for a number of different clientele varieties. I mean, people who just want to do a DIY project over the weekend but don't know where to start, and they don't have the money to hire, you know, a full-time professional like me, but I can go in and help them. I can offer a 1 hour, 2 hour, an all-day training session and show them how to hold a paintbrush, what kind of paint they need to buy, how to do the project.
How do you plan to do these tutorials? I mean, seriously, all right, let me load your guns a little here, okay,
yes.
if I may. We have this space called the Toolbox.
Yes.
It's going to be a workspace, a connection space, if you get my drift. I want somebody to teach painting skills in classes. You're controlling it. I won't control it. You will. I'm just going to provide the space and some of the marketing to help and to promote. But you can do that in that space. And I would love to have a painter to come in there and do exactly what you want to do. Would you consider that down the road?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to teach small groups and small classes, things like that, or individuals, whatever comes to me.
Whatever comes.
Yeah.
But we can offer it. We can throw it out there. If you get two people playing, fine. If you get 10 people playing, fine. Right? Very, you know, and I'm dead serious in what I just told you, because we're going to have electrical in there. We're going to have HVAC in there. We're going to have a little plumbing in there. We're going to have some carpentry. Mm-hmm. Just teasers.
Right.
If you get my drift.
Right.
But we will make things, we will do things, and we will, you know, intrigue people into possible directions and career pathways. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
But painting to me is like a lost, you don't find it anywhere, if that makes any
sense.
Right,
it's not offered in any kind of school or educational facility.
No,
it's just
not.
Something that people magically pick up somehow, I suppose.
Like concrete work.
Yeah.
You know,
that's an art.
Concrete work is an art. I've done a lot of mud in my life, you know, flat work. And there's an art to everything.
Right.
Even Ethan, you know, what you do, electrical, there's art in every aspect. It's called critical thinking, because artistically, you know, the creative side of all of that. And it's innate in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Just tap into yours. And that's what you're doing. Oh, if you're interested in that, I mean, I know you just said you were. You want to teach.
Yeah.
And you're perfect age. And, you know, here's the sad part. And I'm going to reflect on this a minute. I've had several young students here. Young students. I had four in here at one time. And Keith Olson at Independence High School. If it hadn't been for that teacher in that particular high school, these kids would be lost. But four kids came in here and said they couldn't praise Keith, Mr. Olson, enough about as being a teacher and mentor to these kids, that all of them were graduating from high school and every one of them had a job in the trades of some sort. One was a diesel mechanic learning at a concrete, you know, cement company, and one was doing tile work, one was doing electrical work. And I can't remember what the other one was. I think it was a lineman, utility, if my memory serves me correctly. But all of them had jobs, and all of them attributed their direction in life using their hands or mind, critical thinking skills, around the trades courses at in carpentry at Independence High School. Well, if these teachers did not exist, those programs did not exist, those four kids would not have. And there's many more. That's just four that were in the studio here. But all those kids, it's in direct relationship with the teaching that was available to them. And what that teaching and that class did for them in their lives. They were not academic-oriented students. And by the way, they were all boys, you know. But there's no difference between boys and girls. But just by the virtue of having that available to them in their school, their education process, they were enabled to explore, create, and go their direction. That's missing. It's missing. Why? That's what we need to correct. And to you industry people listening, or people that might be connected to industry, if we don't change the image of what it is, you enjoy your job?
Yeah, most days.
Do you love it? What would you rather be doing?
I mean,
you're giving it way too much thought.
I know what I want to do. I don't know if I want to say it on air, though.
Why?
Well, I'm not ready to roll it out yet.
But you got plans.
I do. I definitely have plans, and it involves the trades. So, okay. Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
well,
I mean, I love the industry that I'm in. I definitely have a passion. I like creating things, working with my hands. I like being able to know things. I love doing home inspections when I was doing that. And
you like to question things, too.
Yeah, I like to look at stuff critically. Yeah, yeah, always have. Taking apart old
details.
Yeah, when I was young, I used to take apart old electronics just to kind of see how they work and put them back together. And, yeah, you know,
we
fun.
Visited a workspace yesterday where they had a bicycle shop in there. And what they're doing is taking donations for Christmas bicycles for, you know, for kids that won't be. Pretty interesting, wasn't it, Jaquan?
You know,
yeah, nice little workshop. Well, there you go. Taking things apart, as you have done. You can fix your pivot steer, too, in some situations, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
You got a toolbox, too, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to have it. And the whole crutch behind all we do, Kevin, do you like what you do?
Yeah, I didn't like it when I was in high school, but now that I'm an adult, I realize this is a really cathartic experience and industry for me. I love it. I wouldn't want to do anything else right now.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not work to you. It's more or less just a...
It depends on who I'm working for that day.
Yeah. Well, okay, then the customer matters.
A lot of times. But most people are really great people to work with.
You've had a few whoppers, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Everyone has.
Every now and then, used to when I get a new sponsor on the show that was in siding or painting or whatever, I'd say, can I have the name of your worst customer? Mm-hmm. And they'd say, what? I said, I want the name of your worst customer. The one that you just were so glad to get rid of. And secondly, did they pay you? And if they say, yeah, I said, well, yeah, I'd say that's the one I want. Because if they didn't pay you, I don't want to talk to them. You know, and the reason being is because everybody, have you had the worst customer?
Yes.
Emphatically.
That didn't pay me.
Right. And we've all had them. That's the point. See, just like service companies, there are terrible companies out there right now that lie to you to take your money. They're money grabbers, right? Well, in the same respect, they're customers like that, too.
They have that, you know, the Angie's List or whatever, you know, or you have all these ways to find good contractors or to stay away from bad contractors, but they don't have any way for you to track bad customers.
Sure,
I want to be able to look up an address and be like, oh, did this person not pay their last contractor? I don't want to go in there.
Tom Talby, I hope he didn't mind me saying his name, the owner of Kitchen Tune Up here in town. He had a plan to develop a no contact list.
Mm.
Of clientele.
That.
He really did.
Pass it around.
He wanted to make a some sort of database or collective on bad customers because they're out there big time. You know, I don't have bad customers anymore. Because, you know, I just tell them, well, if you want to do this, or they start mouthing me, I said, do it yourself.
It's, again, communication.
Communication
up front, like expectations. I have an agreement of expectations that I send to people before I send them, you know, an estimate. I want them to say, all right, this is how Matthew wants to operate.
Right.
And if I don't want to operate the way that Matthew's going to operate, I don't have to work with Matthew,
and I'm okay with that. That's credentials you provide that assures them of quality as well.
Yeah,
because you're putting it all in writing and up front.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
one of those is I have the option to leave at any time.
Yeah,
like, I will leave this relationship, and you have the same right.
Yeah.
Like I'm not gonna.
We
I'm
can
not
terminate
work for
this agreement at any point in time on the job.
Yep. I'll give you your money back.
Well, you know, another thing that I found, you know, and I'm just talking in business. Do you sign a contract on a job?
I don't, but I do something similar that Matthew does. I send out a quote, and in that quote, there's a list of like expectations, things, rules that I play by. Like, I work Monday to Friday. I don't work on Sundays. I'm sorry if that's the only day that you want me there. I'm not working on Sundays. Or, you know, I'm not going to get started at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to stay till 9 o'clock at night. I'm leaving. I've got kids, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The client needs to know the rules that I play by so that they can agree to those rules and we can come to an agreement and work together well.
Bingo. And you don't have to sign it. Can you read it?
Right. So there's no signature required, but I do want them to read it.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't send people. I've had people lately that would say, do you want a deposit? No. I don't really want a deposit. I just want to do the job. But I want my money at the end of the job. If I do what I tell you, now, granted, if you're doing a remodel of a kitchen or a addition, they may want a deposit, but they're going to supply all the credentials to substantiate that deposit.
I've found, and I don't necessarily do it for smaller jobs, but I require 50%.
And you should.
And one of the reasons I do that is because if they don't have the money to do 50% right away, then they're going to have a tough time paying. I want them to have their finances figured out beforehand.
Yeah.
And so,
that's your finances.
It is my finances. I don't want to be stuck at the end being like, hey, we're done. Okay, well, let me go to the bank and see if I can get some more money.
You ain't talked about this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get
one of the reasons I don't want to work in North Carolina because they don't take care of contractors when it comes to filing mechanics liens that make you go to small claims court. And it's not worth it. But in South Carolina, I could, $75, I think, file a mechanics lien. And I've had to do that, and I've gotten paid. But people ask me all the time, why don't you want to come to North Carolina and work? There's so much work. Well, there's so much work in South Carolina, but I can also get my money if people don't pay me. So.
Well, you got all them rules you got to dance around.
So many rules.
I hate rules. We've become overruled. I mean, really, we have. I'm sick of it. You know, I'd like to get rid of some, frankly. You know, on the rule front, and people probably got saying to themselves right now, oh, what, rules are good. No, they're not. Intelligence is great. I love intelligence.
Common sense
is even above intelligence. Well, they're kind of tied together. Because if you got intelligence, you should have a little common sense, and that falls in the creative, critical thinking pathway. You get my point? And people say common sense is not common anymore. Why? Because we're stupid. And we've been dumbed down. You laugh, but ain't it the truth? Am I right?
Well,
I mean,
you're right.
You know, every time I say that, people laugh. It ain't funny.
I was taught how to take a test. I wasn't really taught information.
Of course not.
And I'm not a good test taker, so my scores didn't really prove what my aptitude.
You didn't play their game. Didn't want to play inside the box.
I wasn't built that way.
You didn't. And Ethan never played inside the box. It never came in the house. Get that box out of the house.
Get that box out.
We got to play. We gonna learn the right way. Right? Right, Ethan?
Yep.
You got 16-year-old boy ain't dumb. Why? Because he was taught common sense. Right? If you ain't got common sense, you probably won't show up on About Your House. Because we're going to teach it to you. If you want to learn. If you don't, it's okay. That's all right. And you, you know how I know this? People told me. Listen to my my baby Patrick Klein. She'll tell you all about it. And in the meantime, and he, crazy.
I planned it.
Yeah, that just happened. There's something to this. I don't know. Right here on the back of your house, 704-227-8986. Heard from Uncle Red this morning. I'm going to have to get him in here, and we're going to have a chat, because when he's in the room, you can't help but have a chat. Come on back. We'll be here right here on About Your House.
Well, there.
All right. Welcome back. Sitting here talking to Ethan about his equipment. You ever done any electrical work, Ethan?
No.
You haven't?
Well, I've done like some electrical where my lawnmower was messed up electrically, but not in the house or anything.
What about landscape lighting?
You ever?
No. Okay. Just tune in. Landscape lighting. Mm-hmm. Two things I mentioned to you today. Landscape lighting and irrigation, they're both byproducts of landscaping and what you do, what you're involved with. Now, you're 16. You're just starting out. You're getting your lawnmower all groovy and stuff, getting your equipment squared away. But you're going to learn these side bars, so to speak. Just
upsells.
Yeah. Well, I don't like to use that word. Yeah. But you're right. You know. But see, there's... Landscape lighting's relatively easy to do, you know, once you learn it, you know, and you're going to need to learn about irrigation because you're going to deal with irrigation heads, as you've already found out and learned. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just two sidebars. And another thing, there ain't many people, relatively speaking, that's really good at irrigation system. Relatively speaking, I said, there's some great people in irrigation. They're just few and far between. That's the point. Just like everything else, for that matter. You know, well, where are you going? You can't tell me where you're going. You're going to keep it secret until you're ready to go there. And that's okay.
Just helping people right now. Just helping people do small things. And I like making videos about it, too. So
you do? Yeah. What camera do you use?
Just my phone. I have my 12-year-old edit it with, you know, video editing software and put in little wing dings and all the other little things.
You're a pretty good speaker. You
thank
know,
you.
And that's, you're a pretty smart guy.
Wow. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm trying to be positive about myself, aren't I, Kevin?
No, well, you are. Are you concerned about it there?
No, I don't usually talk well about myself.
Well, I know you're a humble fella, and I get that. And it's cool. That's another great quality, you know. But the fact is, you know, you, at your age, you're both teachers. You both want to teach. I love you for it. I commend you for it. And if I can do anything to help with that, and with Kevin, you're an intriguing man in the fact that you're so creative and you want to give back, you know. And your kids, your homeschool kids, are you in a network too? I mean, you had said something about homeschooling during
yes.
the break.
Yeah, we're officially members of a homeschool co-op there, but we don't actually participate in any of the activities. We're just in it for the legal requirements.
The legal requirements.
Yeah.
Okay. How would you recommend us, me, Put Tools in Schools, reaching out to homeschool networks?
I mean, I think reaching out to homeschool co-op groups online, because most of them have websites or other forms of communication, I think that's the best way, and just say, hey, are you guys doing any kind of... a lot of them do, you know, seasonal or monthly or annual events where they, you know, swap parents or they hire a teacher to come in and do a group lesson or something like that. I think it'd be a great opportunity for them.
Well, and that's something that I'm doing an outreach right now, verbally, with dialogue on the radio. No, it's not the radio. Excuse me, online. So right now, really, Put Tools in Schools is... I've gotten several emails in the past and phone calls to the effect of, do you work with homeschool networks? And we weren't in a position to do that. Well, really not now. I'm just sticking my neck out and saying, we're going to do it. You know, because if you wait, 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 nothing happens. I ain't waiting no more. It's time. And plus, getting in school seems to be hard. I don't know why. I do know why, but I don't want to expound on it because it just pisses people off. It's hard. Why does this have to be so hard when it's so simple? I mean, really. But homeschool networks, they want that availability. They want that resource.
A lot of them do, and they're always looking out for something that they can do with their kids. And, you know, I don't know what the exact legal requirements are in North or South Carolina about this particular thing, but I know that in Pennsylvania, when I was homeschooled up there, there is a requirement that you have to go on a certain number of field trips every year, or you have to go here, you have to go there,
right,
and you have to check that off the box in order to pass the grade. And so I'm sure that there are a lot of places all around, even in places where it's not required by law, but they're looking for field trips and activities that they can take their kids on.
To check boxes.
Right.
Cool.
But also for experience. I mean,
oh God, that's
even
the
if
most
it's not
important
required,
part.
Just having the experience.
Part. That's the most important part.
Parents want their kids to have this kind of experience. Absolutely.
And we want to give it to them. So, you know, therefore, as listeners are listening and you do an outreach, if you know any homeschool networks, please have them reach out to Put Tools in Schools. You can go to puttoolsinschools.org, sign up there. Real easy. And if it's not easy, you can call the phone number there. It happens to be mine. And I'll... You know, take your name and information, and we'll do some collective talking and figure out a plan. And there's no plan that are alike. We're willing to meld into what you need, you know, because we're here to help, and that's all we can do. And I want to extend that to any nonprofit working with kids, any nonprofit. Because these kids, however we can get to kids and just expose them to life skills. That's it. And speaking of life skills, how many kids know how to cook?
Mine do.
You're homeschooling. You're different. you can cook too, I bet. I bet Ethan can't cook.
No, I'm not. I'm not like really. I worked for a sandwich shop in the past, so I know how to do some things, but...
Well, you do, just by virtue of you saying that. I know you know how to wield a knife, right?
Yeah.
Well, you've already, what you're doing, but you have cooked.
I have cooked.
Of course you have. It's not like you never cooked. If I gave you a box of frozen Bubba burgers, you know what I'm saying? Could you cook them?
Probably.
There you go. Well, I dealt with 6 kids last summer. Could not. They couldn't figure out how to open the box, much less separate them. I'm not kidding. Critical thinking. And y'all, look, they couldn't do that. They couldn't do it.
I'm not surprised. I was a teacher for 9 years.
They couldn't do it. I said, separate them. They're stuck together. How? Okay. I said, you laughed. Gary Crump was over there like laughing his head off. You know, he says, this is what we're dealing with. You know, and look, I'm not reflecting on any child or any student. It's not their fault. Kids only know what we teach them or don't know what we're not teaching them. And that's where we're at today. Now, how do they get in touch with Matthew in Rock Hill and South Carolina?
You can.
Do you ever work in Mecklenburg County?
I do not. I'm not licensed in North Carolina. Actually, I have done a subcontracted job, structural job.
But typically, you won't work in North Carolina.
Typically, if I'm going to do work, it's going to be in South Carolina.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
How do they get in touch with you?
You go on my website, freedomcontracting.org, or you can look at me on Facebook. I got a great YouTube channel, the Freedom 4851 Group.
So Freedom 4851 Group.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. All around freedom.
Now, what's your YouTube channel do?
Just education. Interesting
I'm
videos.
I'm building a deck. Watch me.
Well, yeah. Kinda. I'm transitioning that, right? Because I was doing home inspection. So a lot of those are around, hey, here's some stuff I found doing home inspection, stuff to look out
okay,
for.
Okay, I got you.
But I'm started to do some how-to jobs. One of my most watched videos is about a dishwasher high loop.
Oh, I got you. I know what you're talking about.
Yep. I just did a video about how to tighten a toilet seat. You know, little things. So, it's usually
gonna,
little things you get.
Me and Sam's going to do a video on how to install disappearing stairways this afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, I'm content. He's the producer. There you go. End of story. Kevin, how do they get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with me would be to call or text me. My number is 704-906-0523. But you can also go on my Instagram. And again, the handle is Fry Custom Painting. Or find me on Facebook, Fry Custom Painting 2.0.
I would recommend Googling him because that worked for me. And that puts you in direct contact with all the stuff he just said.
Yeah.
I found that Googling is the best blanket. Just Google me. And I've checked it time and time. Every Saturday morning I check it because of my guest. That's where I start. So, Ethan, how do they get in touch with you? Or you don't want them to get in touch with you?
They can just text or call 803-417-4389.
Ethan's Mowing Service. Yep. Is that it?
Ethan's Lawn Mowing.
Ethan's Lawn Mowing.
I mean, anything really works right now.
If you want Jaquan, you got to call me. I'm the gateway, you know. But how much time? Where are we at over here? I got 20 seconds. I appreciate all of you. I love you all for coming in. And thank you, Ethan. Thank you, Jaquan, for showing up today. Appreciate you, Kevin. We're going to talk again.
Okay. Sounds good.
And because I want Kevin to teach painting. Mm-hmm. And Matthew, always great, great, awesome. Appreciate you coming in here, brother. And to all of you, next Saturday we'll have another show right here on About Your House every Saturday. Don't ask me who's going to be on because I have no clue. But we'll figure it out, I promise you. We always do. I might give you a hint. It might be around education. I don't know. I'm working on something. But I know you get tired of hearing the rhetoric about our education system. So do I. So do I. When are we going to stop? When we change it. It's the only way. So go ahead and spread some love. Thank you all. We love you all. Take care. Have great health. Have a great week. It's going to be a beautiful weather week ahead. So get out and enjoy it. Be safe. We love you all. Take care. We'll talk to you next Saturday right here on About Your House.